Our buddy Bricks Avalon's pointing out the zipper up PJs or jammies on the inside of the leg with a button down for your buttocks, which Jay Carter points out. Jay Carter points out.
Let me just pose a question to Chris and Keith. Hottest girl you've ever seen comes up to you, wants to do you, and she says, no one will ever find out. And no one will ever find out. Do you do it?
Let's just say that opportunity has already presented itself to me. Last week after the show, when I was here with Keith, I turned it down.
You turned it down?
No, of course. I love my wife more than anything in the world.
I don't think that was an answer.
It's the best answer you're going to get on the air.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
All right. Thanks. Number three.
That's Fred's lie of the week. Twice.
You can tell the fact that I just mouthed to you, I definitely would.
That opportunity has already presented itself to me last week after the show when I was here with Keith. Come on, baby, dry your eyes, wipe your tears. Here with Keith, Keith. Never like to see you cry. Won't you please forgive me? Keith, 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 Keith. I would have ever tried to hurt. That opportunity has already presented itself to me. Last week after the show, when I was here with Keith. Keith, 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 Keith.
It's like a pretty little princess.
Keith, 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 Keith.
It's like a pretty little
Keith.
just like that, a radio program begins. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. That's the place to be and the thing you do with your ears. If you want to, you can check us out in all the fancy places like Pal Talk. Go over to TV Radio, check out the Heroes Talk Radio Room. Go over to HeroesTalk.com, click on video. All that sort of good stuff. Call us, too. 877-744-6405. Zoo-doo-doo. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. My name is Chris. I'll be one of your co-hosts this morning. Along with me is my partner, my life partner, here forever. His name is Keith.
I'm only human, buddy. I'm sorry.
I understand. We've got an exciting day ahead of us, an exciting day of professional radio done in a professional way for amateur something, I don't know. Our buddy Freddie's here with us as well.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, fella?
Nothing.
How you doing? Hey, look who else is over here sitting in the corner looking all fancy free and like he's an unmade bed. It's our buddy Brian.
I am an FBI agent.
Very creepy. Very creepy. I enjoy you. And our executive producer, sitting at the helm, flying us into a new millennium, is our buddy Rob Giggs. It is time travel. We're going to new millenniums.
The next one, or is he flying us into the past one?
Two ago, actually. We're going back in time. Awesome. I'm wearing a happy face. I'm putting it on. I'm making sure that everything's great here for our fine program today, Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, that is. Did I say about the hottest of all lines?
No, you didn't.
I think I announced it, but I forgot to mention to people that it was the hottest of all lines. You guys can call it if you so choose. Be part of this program that is Best in Show by calling 877-744-6405. It's the hottest of all lines.
That's really your happiest face?
What this is it's not that it's my happiest face. It's a happy face that I'm putting on at all, because to be quite honest with you, I am a... I feel like Brian looks. Let's put it that way.
Jesus. And by the way, Brian looks terrible, so...
Really?
In case anyone can see.
What, could you please tell me what's wrong with me? I mean, I walked in and Chris was like, you look like ass. What's wrong with you?
I think a guy, while you're laying on a couch, that guy, some guy will be able to tell you what's wrong with you. I don't know. You look, like I say, like an unmade bed.
Is
I
it think the hair? The facial hair?
It's not just that. There's something you really look like. You look worse for wear. You look like you've been worked over.
So, Chris, let me ask you something. Why do you feel like Brian looks? And do you mean emotionally or physically or both?
No, not physically. Physically, I feel like a million bucks. I feel fine physically. I'm just like, I'm an emotional, what's the words I'm looking for?
Roller and coaster?
What's that? Yes, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster of love, actually. No, it's just been a rough week at work. It's been a rough couple of weeks at work. I've been having a pretty rough time with my life. And I'm starting to really hate the fact of the fact that I go to this place for what should be 40 hours a week, but for 60 or so hours a week every week, and I pour out my blood, sweat, and tears and lifeblood to for no.
What, do you work at a sweatshop?
I might as well.
So,
I might as well.
All right, so later.
Don't get me wrong. I get paid well. I'm not gonna make believe I don't get paid well, because I do get paid well. But I work like a dog constantly, and I feel like in the long run, I'm eventually just gonna get laid off like everybody else.
All right. Oh, you said laid off. Sorry.
So there's no security? You feel like there's no security at all in this job?
I don't think there's security in anything in the world, but specifically at my
unions.
Job.
So if a union job, you have security.
No,
there's a bit more than a non-union
sure,
job.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I just feel like I'm killing myself for the man, for nothing. And okay. I don't want to be cliche and say the same thing that everyone else says about themselves.
So lay down on the couch, the leather, nice leather couch here.
Hold on. Let me
put your head back.
Oh, this is comfortable. Actually, I'm sticking to it. I'm sticking. Could you put the air conditioner on a little bit higher? I'm sticking to the leather. This is disgusting. Okay, all right. Do you have a towel? If I can lay a towel down here. All right,
Tina, hold my calls.
All right. I'm on the couch now.
Okay, so Chris, what would you like to be doing in life?
I hate my mother. No, what? I thought that's what you asked. I thought you asked something about that. What would I like to be doing in life? Of course, I think it's damned obvious. I would like to be a professional wrestler. I think that's a given, that's what I want to be in life. But if I couldn't be a professional wrestler, I guess the next thing that I would like to be would be an astronaut. After that, I'd like to be a talk radio host.
Or a fire truck.
I wouldn't mind being a fire truck or a dump truck, actually. Like a big yellow like caterpillar, I think that'd be pretty cool.
So is it just a job or is it other things? Do you think other things are making you hate your job more? Because I know when I tend to hate my job more when I'm unhappy in other aspects of my life. So it tends to magnify how bad my job sucks.
I'll be honest. The rest of my life is going pretty good. I'm not complaining about things. I'm happy with where I'm at. What's up, Fred?
I'm very shocked about that, because usually if you're at a 12-hour job and it's not going so well, that dribbles over into like your house life and also like your friendship life. It's not dribbling over a little bit?
Well, one, I don't really have many friends, so I'm not really all that worried about that.
Granted, house life though.
But no, because I come home and my wife's asleep, so I don't even have the time to fight with her. You know?
But don't you miss that? Miss the fighting times?
No, I exaggerate. No, I'm having no problems at home. Everything's great at home. Everything's
fine. It's just the job. So yeah. I think you're going for a job change. Is that what you're saying here in not so many words? Are you going to try to look for a different job?
Tina, can you tell me why the other psychiatrist was let in the room?
Wait, Tina, I want to answer him first. He had a good question, though. How much do you charge an hour?
20.
I need to switch. No, like I said, I don't. It's specifically my job that's driving me nuts. My home life is cool. I'm not having issues here. I don't foresee myself getting off the pot though. I'm lazy as sin, and I'm comfortable. As much as I'm complaining and crying about it, I make some pretty good money. So I'm not going to leave my job for any reason. I feel like it's going to.
You're worn out, basically.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. That's not a bad assessment. Excuse me, not a bad idea. Yeah, I'm putting in for my vacation time. Maybe I'll take a couple of weeks, recharge, and hopefully get us a job on K-Rock in that time or
X-Men. KROQ or K-Rock in New York?
Both. Both, but we're going to commute. We have to go back and forth.
I'll take Fred, you take Brian.
Awesome.
Wait, there had to be some specific thing at work to make you think like this.
No,
I swear to Christ,
it's not a one. Well, you know what? My job is on the. There have been some layoffs. But that's not what triggered it. It's really not what triggered it. And the layoffs are not related to me. They're related to a different department at my company. And it's specifically because of like policy changes. And we all knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. Like all the people that were laid off knew it was coming. So it's fine. It's not that. I don't know. It's just, like I said, I'm feeling burnt out. You know what it is, man? Every fourth week, I am on call for work. And when I am on call for work, my phone rings at any hour of the day, and I've just got to go. And I've just got to be there no matter what. Guess who's on call this week? That'd be me. So maybe that's why I'm hypersensitive right now. I mean, I know it's my job.
Well, you are on call a lot. I don't think I could tolerate that. I need to know on my days off, unless I like what I'm doing, I need to know on my days off that they are my day off. Yeah. I can't deal with.
I don't want to get into too far detail, too granular about what I do for a living, but it's a technical job, and we do things. We do maintenances late at night, fixing electronic equipment and whatnot, telecommunications equipment, and this past like 3 weeks, I've worked on a Saturday night over and over and over again, and so this week it was just like, hey. I'm on call anyway, guys. I really can't do this Saturday night. UFC Afflictions pay-per-view is going to be on. UFC Fight Night's going to be on. I want to be home on Saturday night this week. And it's all right, cool. And everyone else at the job stepped up, and they all said, all right, we're going to take the maintenances this week. Don't worry about it. And then I got a call at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon saying, hey, Chris, we need you tomorrow night at midnight to go do this, this, and this.
Was that because somebody backed out of taking one of the maintenances, or there was just too many?
It's because something broke. Something broke.
Tell them just to not stop breaking things.
I wish they would.
Can they not handle what's being broken? I don't understand. Why are – if they're going to cover you, how come they can't cover you?
No, they're not covering on call. On call, there are two different things. There are planned, scheduled things like, hey, we're going to do some maintenance on a piece of equipment, and it's planned. And then there's, you're the on-call guy. If something breaks, you run out and fix it. Yeah. The last three Saturdays, I've been doing maintenances, planned maintenances. And the guy said, hey, we're taking all the planned maintenances this weekend. You don't have to do one. And I said, okay, cool. And then while that was the case, something broke. And I had to go do a maintenance, basically. It was like half maintenance, half on-call issue. Wah, wah, wah.
Same job calls you. It's going to be a 40-hour a week job, but you're going to get paid $30,000 less. Do you take it?
No.
$20,000 less. $10,000
less. $0 less is the only thing I could take. I am scraping by with the bills that I have and the debt that I have to be able to... I can't take any less money. Well, not to mention the paychecks that I have to issue out for Heroes Talk, everybody that gets paid from my paycheck.
By the way, you want to... We'll talk about it off the air.
Yeah, that's an HR issue. I'll send you over to the HR girl.
Keith, you're on call this week.
Am I? Okay.
What's her name? Janice? Who's your
Tina?
No, oh, Tina. Tina. Keith needs you.
She's doing her nails. Don't even bother. Well, yeah, I don't like not having money either. I have to. I'm gonna go. I am gonna make an official statement for myself anyway, not necessarily for Best in Show. I am officially against me not having enough money for the things I want, or the things I have already that I can't pay for.
Poor Keith.
You know, yes, that's me.
I mean,
actually.
Literally poor. He's poor.
Money's overrated, dude. You don't need money to do much.
Can I have yours then?
And it's really not going to make you happy. Say if you had, you know, if you were making $100,000 a year, Keith, you would still be the same Keith with the same problems.
Well, I would just have much larger debt that I would have to pay. I would have debt that $100,000 can't pay off. Oh, wait, I have that already.
Speaking with you and your problems, how's that mass in your neck? Did you get that checked out?
I thought there was like a priest and an altar boy sitting on his neck doing something that I missed out.
I love that joke. Let me hear. A priest and an altar boy are sitting on my neck. So, yeah, I don't know. I got it on Monday, my ultrasound. I called for my results Friday.
It's a boy.
And they told me it's a priest. I called for my results Friday. They didn't have them yet. Then I called yesterday and they said they got them on Friday, but nobody read them yet. So they're just really in a rush to let me know if I'm going to live or die. I guess I'll be letting you know next week. And that's that.
I hope everything works out for you. I hope you're. I hope that I don't know. It's the gender you want. I hope. I mean, what could it possibly be? We went through this last week.
Yeah,
for those of you who don't know about it, go over to bestinshowradio.com, click on recorded, and then audio, and you can check out last week's show. Or you can even click on recorded video and watch last week's show. Even the torrents, you know, there's all sorts of great stuff on this thick, nasty website, and you can go check out what we've done. But last week we analyzed, or I waxed philosophic about the fact that I think that Keith is a hypochondriac, because I'm a good friend. I'm a good friend that cares a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. I had a tough week too, Chris.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, Brian. I can tell.
I sat on my ass all week long on a beach, Monday through Friday, as a matter of fact, Sunday through Friday, and drank and overate and...
Wait, where?
I vacationed this week. I vacationed in Fire Island. Are you familiar with Fire Island?
I can't say that I am. I've heard of it, but I don't know where
what
it is.
What have you heard about it?
It's called Fire Island. I don't know. I'm guessing from Fred's in the background that there's a certain connotation of the. I guess there's a certain clientele that usually frequents said beach. I don't know.
Fire Island is notoriously gay. Like it's the island itself is gay. It makes you gay.
Lost, gay lost.
It's like gay.
It's like lost on logo.
No, you became gay when you went to the island, Brian? Yeah,
that's you get on the ferry, and by the way, it is called a ferry. And
by the way, I just wanted to be known that the analysis in the chat room, the Heroes Talk Room, which if you're not there, you're a jerk, from Vanessa, it's where the gays go. Brixosaurus, gay men take young boys there. White S. Brent, Fire Island is where the faggots hang out.
No NAMBLA convention jokes? Nothing in there in the chat room?
Bruce Leo, no matter how much you try there, you can't be straight. Wow.
Well, they for one thing, they don't allow cars, so you can only take the ferry. That's right, I said it, the ferry. And when you would get, well, it's not nearly as gay as everyone makes it out to be. Apparently, there is like a high gay population, or it's like a place where a large gay population vacations. But I was sort of in the white trash section. In the section where it's kind of like, ew, we're not going to go there, and really kind of...
We're on vacation over here. We ain't going over on the other side over there. Those guys over there drink drinks with umbrellas in them. We're not going over there. Not going to do anything like that. We're staying over here. We're drinking our Miller. We're going to hang out. We're going to watch NASCAR.
It's true. And there's no cars, so people don't drive on the opposite sides of the island. You get to your neighborhood. My neighborhood happened to be called Kismet, believe it or not. And then you don't move. You just stay where you are.
Is there a ghetto in Fire Island? Like, is it different neighborhoods?
It's sort of like, if there is a ghetto, it is Kismet.
Really?
But it's still very fancy. Like, all the houses there are vacation homes, and they're beach homes, and they're really nice, man. You know what I mean? And like a lot of them are share houses. Do you know what that is?
Like time sharing?
Yeah, sort of. Except it's like everyone goes there at the same time. So it's sort of like
a hippie commune.
Sort of like you show up for that weekend, you buy into a share.
Who'd you just call a hippie? You ain't call me no hippie, faggot. Come here, kiss me. Sorry.
You show up, you sign up for like a share in a certain house, and then you go there with all the other people who have bought in, and you hang out with them for the weekend or whatever it is. And I had a friend of mine who started up one of those share houses and actually wrote a book about it. And it's a pretty interesting book, Share House Confidential, about all the like backstabbing and all the kind of like weird stuff that happened in like one of the summers I was there.
In Vacation World?
Yeah.
That's an odd thing. Okay.
It's done very well. I recommend go search it out. Share House Confidential.
Way to plug your friend. Way to plug your friend. Yeah, one of my friends wrote a book or something. You guys should read it.
John Blesso is the author's name. Read it.
How many times do you think Brian got hit on? And how many times do you think that he actually took the advance?
I'm going to say once his girlfriend said, please get off the floor. I think that's the closest thing to getting hit on. Just get up. Get up. Why are you laying there like that? That's the closest thing I think he got to getting hit on.
Yes, I was not hit on at all the entire week. Look at me. I look like I just woke up off a couch. This is me dressing up. I literally spent all weekend. I was alternating between my bathing suit and my PJs. Yes, I brought my PJs with me.
You are such a faggot. PJs.
It was great.
Right place.
Brian's the only guy that can look bad with a tan. Like, he has a tan, his skin's all nice, but he still looks horrible.
I actually got a burn. The last day, I just refused to wear suntan lotion because it's sticky and I hate it. I hate putting any kind of lotion at all on my feet.
I stare at you, son, and say, screw you. I'm better than you. I'm strong enough to take you on.
You know what? I've been doing that this week. I have not been using sunblock because I just got annoyed at having to always put it on.
It's filthy. It's sticky. It's like your hands are all kind of ugh.
Note to Keith's hypochondria. Skin cancer is the next thing you need to catch.
Yeah, it's up here.
But I spent the last day, because I was going to be leaving, I was going to be jumping back on the ferry and heading back into Long Island. I didn't want to be all icky or whatever, so I stayed on the beach without any kind of suntan. But I was underneath an umbrella. I was in the shade, and I figured that would protect me. But apparently, the sun like sort of jukes around the shade.
Brian, by the last day, you should have been used to the creamy substances rubbed all over your skin. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I can't.
Is that a gay joke?
Brian basically told us that he didn't want to be icky in his PJs this week.
He didn't want to be icky in his PJs in his Fire Island vacation.
So I stayed on the beach. I actually was wearing a bathing suit because it was the beach. It would be awkward.
And you wear PJs. And we've had this discussion on the air before, but Speedo's what you wear to the beach, right? That's what you said.
Mantis.
So you didn't go to any of the, like the gay populated areas?
I actually was the only one to leave Kismet. I decided, you know what, Wednesday rolled around and I just got sick and tired of eating and drinking all day and sleeping and reading. So I decided to go check out Ocean Beach, which is I think 5 or 6 communities away. And I was able to take a bike halfway there, and then you couldn't take the bike any longer because they don't allow cars in Fire Island. They don't have roads. You have to, like,
well, they do have them, but they go both ways. Sorry.
Yikes.
Go ahead.
So I took the bike out to the dunes, basically, and then I walked through the dunes to get to the to Ocean Beach.
So when you say there's no roads, there are sidewalks, though, right? It's not like sand place, is it?
There are sidewalks between the community. There's one big sidewalk. You can fit a golf cart, and for that reason, people have golf carts like in their driveway or something, and they plug them in and they drive those around. Every once in a while, you'll see like the cops drive golf carts between the communities.
So wait, do you have to walk, though, in order to get to every place?
Pretty much, or you get on a bike. In fact, all the communities have ferries. There's like little docks where the ferries come in and drop you off, and there's not really any stores or anything on there, so you have to bring your food in over the ferries, and then you wheel the food from there to your little summer house, and you have those like little red wagons. So there's red wagons all over the island.
So red wagons, golf carts, and according to White S. Brent in the chat room, I thought the preferred mode of transportation was piggyback rides.
No, you didn't see too many piggyback rides. Although there were, there right next to the beach next to me is a nude beach. So if you walk on the beach, you got to walk through the nude beach.
Are you allowed to be dressed on the nude beach?
You're allowed to, but it's frowned upon.
Did you go to the nude beach?
No, I did not.
Did you walk through the nude beach?
No, I'm not going near naked people. Are you kidding me? People are already too naked for me in the regular beach.
I would love to go to the nude beach and be like a dog with worms dragging my ass across the sand like it's a rug. That's what I would love to do more than anything.
I think you'd be naked on the nude beach
of course
after
I
like
would.
The second beer, right?
Dude, second beer. I would show up getting off the plane nude and be like, what? I thought it was a nude beach.
See, I'm always afraid to go on a nude beach because I'm afraid I'm going to get caught staring at people because I'm a starer, I'm a people watcher, and I'm just afraid that a chick's going to look at me like, this guy's a
beach. And it'll be obvious that you were staring too.
Yeah, totally obvious. I'm going to guess, though, that the majority of the people on the beach, like at most beaches, are not going to be really something fantastic to look at. I'm going to guess that they're going to look kind of like you're looking at yourself. Like, you're not going to see the hottest of people naked at a beach.
Even so, it gives me more opportunity to stare to see what their imperfections are. Be like, oh, that one has flabby
boobs.
Okay,
so in which case you wouldn't be able to tell that you were
exactly.
staring, but that you would be looking. But you wear sunglasses every place. No one would
that
know.
That is true. That is true.
There are a lot of hot chicks at the place that I was.
Oh, were there really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's sort of like, that's the essence of this share house.
And you still didn't go, Bri? I would be there in a heartbeat.
Well, one of them was some sort of exhibitionist, and she always wanted a skinny dip. Like, it was the middle of the day or the night or whatever, and it's like, okay, everybody, we're going to go skinny dip. And it's like, they has a hot tub there, so everyone had to go into the hot tub naked or whatever, and I just...
Did you go in the hot tub?
No. I did go in the hot tub with clothing the first night I was there, and I just don't like hot tubs. They're just bad. They
suck.
Did
your girl get naked?
No, she didn't.
She was the only chick not to get... You two were the only people not to get naked?
We went the first night, and then, like, we just didn't go after that.
We went the first night. We were wearing scuba suits every place we went.
But that's, like, a regular thing. Just wow. People are constantly, like, hot people are getting naked all the time.
So no desire to hit the nightlife or anything like that?
The nightlife there consists of one bar called The Inn, which is pretty much what you can expect from it. It's just, it's like, kind of a redneck dive bar.
Well, I'm talking about I'm sure the nightlife is booming down, you know, a few communities away, but...
Well, that's what I mean. Getting to another community is a trek. I actually, on that Wednesday, halfway through the week, I decided I wanted to go to Ocean Beach and play video games because there's a video game parlor next to a pizza parlor somewhere that I heard about. So I made the trek out there, and I actually had to walk. Once I took the bike on the little fake sidewalk roads, it takes me to a place where that runs out, and I have to walk through the desert.
Let me ask you something about the bike. Is that a bike that they just give you, like...
His house happens to have like 9 or 10 bikes, and they're like those beachcomber bikes, and all rusted out and nasty. It's not like...
So did you just leave the bike laying there? Like,
when I got to the end of the sidewalk, there's a fence, and I chained it to the fence.
Oh, okay. I thought I for some reason in my head I'm picturing bike stations everywhere, and you just take your bike and then you leave your bike there, and you know, like
there kind of are. There's little bike stands everywhere, and you can latch off your bike everywhere. But this in the desert, in the dunes there, you had to like make do with just a random fence there. And then walking through the desert, I had no idea how far away it was. I'm like an hour and a half into my walk, and I'm still walking through the desert, through like the heavy sand, and it's hot. Like, the sand's really hot. My feet are burning, and I'm covered, like, from my groin down with sand that's being kicked around. It was awful.
I can't believe New York City has a desert.
Fire Island, to me, reminds me a little bit of Amsterdam and a little bit of Iraq. Like, people are driving their bikes all around, and then you have to walk through the desert. What is going on?
I didn't expect it to be that hideous in the desert. I thought it was going to be a pleasant little walk, and I'll go to play video games. And I got out the opposite end of that dune. It was like every time I'd get through, and it was like, oh, a sidewalk. Finally, I'm done. But it was a little trick. It's like you got 5 steps on a sidewalk, and then you're back into the desert. And it's like, what happened to existence? It's just gone. And the dunes are sort of bracketed by these large sort of 6-foot weeds crawling on the side. And there's wild deer like jumping in and out of them.
You mean they're like crazy. Drunk and stuff? Yeah, hey, human.
Deer's gone wild.
I was just going to say, they do the video, deer's gone wild. Down there.
So like an hour and a half later, I'm out of the dunes, and it's like now I'm going into town, and I'm dripping with sweat. I've got sand all over me, and I'm exhausted. I need to drink, and it was not a fun situation. And then I had to realize that I have to turn around and go back and do this again to get back to like my house and sleep.
Did you guys have your own bedroom?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good. So,
I don't think you needed to ask that question with Brian. He slept in the community bed.
You never know, though, the way that this whole setup sounds like it could be.
No, I could see the setup being like that. I couldn't see Brian staying in a place where he didn't have his own bedroom, though.
The first year, the guy who wrote the book, when he started the share house back in like 2003, it was kind of like a jacked up house. He just bought it and then started building to it and really kind of, it didn't look very nice. And now, I mean, it's a castle. The place looks incredible. He's got like a wet bar and he's got a huge kitchen and he's got like a keg and they make their own beer that's kegged and they got a hot tub in back and it's really pretty. It's a really nice place. And but the first year, we stayed up in his attic room, which wasn't really a room. It was sort of where he stored all his paint and accessories and stuff, and there were tarps sort of surrounding it, and it was above the kitchen. So if you and it wasn't like a room. It was maybe 3 feet tall, so you had to crawl your way into there and lay down, and that's where that was like our preferred room because you got to be alone. All the other rooms you had to share with like two or three other people in bunk beds and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I'll stay up in the shack in the attic. Ugh.
In the closet. I'll stay in this closet over here, thanks. I guess the thing that is more intriguing to me about this entire thing than anything else is, didn't you go on vacation like 3 weeks ago?
It was several months ago. I did go to Puerto Rico.
That was not several months ago. When was that?
It was March, I think. Yeah.
Really?
Wow, that was 6 months ago.
It feels like it was like a couple of weeks ago that he was there.
I thought it was like 2 months ago, maybe the most.
I do feel guilty about now. This is the first time I've had vacation, I think, ever. I think back right after we got fired, I sort of call that vacation.
Laid off.
I'm sorry. Well, I call that vacation the sort of like 2 weeks that we sat in Staten Island and watched Twin Peaks. That was
2 weeks. Where were you? Where was I for the 18 months?
But like that was as close as I had to ever to a vacation. And now I took basically two in 1 year. It's awesome.
Yeah, and that's the thing that kind of blows me away about it because like as I start this whole thing off complaining about, oh my God, I hate my job, I need a break, I hate my job. Like, wait, this mother effer is going on vacation every 10 minutes. What the hell?
Yeah, it was good. And it was close and it was inexpensive. And I mean, that's kind of why we jumped on it. It was offered to us and I was able to take the days off from work.
And flaming on top of it.
It was hot.
Bri, who paid for the trip? Be honest.
We split it. We had to put up like half in advance and I paid through my PayPal account for the first half. And then when we got there, she paid for the second half.
Wait a minute. Your PayPal account? Mm-hmm. I was noticing
our
that
Best in Shows PayPal account.
I was going to say, I noticed that the Heroes Talk account actually took a hit this week. I didn't know what happened.
So it was splitsies. You went Dutch.
Yeah.
How about when you got there and like you had to buy food and drinks for everybody?
That's what's awesome about this. I didn't spend a dime the whole time I was there.
Really?
Except for the video game place.
Why? Because food and drinks are included in everything?
This whole thing, the guy, he markets it as like an Epicurean experience, which is to say enjoy the simple pleasures of life because it'll like extend your life and make you happier. He stocks this joint with the best food and it's all, the people who go there are all foodies. Like they're chefs in restaurants in Manhattan or food bloggers. And all this stuff. So every meal is like an experience. We had smoked ribs on Wednesday. We had...
And then Thursday was Brian's day. Everyone had cheese sandwiches. Oh, it was great.
With hot sauce.
I cleaned. I didn't cook one meal. I mean, I cooked... You're on your own for lunches sometimes. And like I cooked omelets for people one morning for breakfast. But I mean, the food is just delicious. And you don't pay a dime for it. It's all included.
Is making love on Fire Island a little different than making love in
that
New York City?
Is actually a little expensive. You have to pay for that.
Good answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused by the whole thing. I don't know that I could go with a place where I wouldn't just be in a hotel by myself. I don't know if I'd be into the whole house, the commune, the hostel thing. I don't know if I can go that way. Like I would never be able to stay at a bed and breakfast because like you'd have to share a dining room. So I couldn't imagine like sharing a full house with people. Like, it'd be one thing if there were people you know, but as Vanessa points out, you're in a house with a bunch of other jerks you don't know. Like exactly. Just like random people that happen to purchase at the same time. I don't know if I can go for that angle.
It is a little weird. The only guy that I had met there before is the guy who owned the house. But I guess the concept is if you're in for the summer share, the first weekend is awkward because you don't know anybody. But after that, everyone kind of gets to know everyone. Like, the liquor's flowing and everyone's eating and they're getting naked in the hot tubs. You get to know people quickly.
And then what if you get to know them and you don't like them?
Exactly. And, Brian, that's a recipe for disaster with alcohol and everything, and you get a Republican in there.
Especially with me.
Let's just say that there's someone there who's maybe not so well-read.
Totally.
Maybe there's someone there that actually is critical of some of the literature that you're fond of. Like, what are you going to do?
I have had... I was there 2 years ago, and it was on a weekend, and there was a prick there who I had a literary argument with, and I didn't like him. It sucked.
What was the argument about?
I want to say it was Nietzsche. We were talking. We were talking about.
I don't think you really understand what he meant in Beyond Good and Evil. Let's really talk about this.
I can't remember exactly what we were talking about, but there was a major Nietzsche argument, and we were both loaded.
Didn't he get killed by a horse?
You mean heroin?
That's Catherine the Great. That was Catherine the Great. Something different.
How did Nietzsche die?
I don't know. Old age?
She fell off...
That's the most interesting thing about him.
She fell off a bike and hit her head. That's why there was never a Velvet Underground reunion with her.
It was a little weird not knowing a lot of people there, and I'm not a very social guy. And in fact, they'd go out on the porch, and after dinner, the sunset would come down. It was really pretty, and they'd whip out their guitars and they started singing together. It was just like, oh my god, really?
Like that commercial where they sing the Rolling Stones song on the deck. I think we've played that on our
show
before.
We all need
and they're all sitting together and everyone's happy, and I'm like I'm repulsed. I'm running away. I'm in the corner kind of smoking my cigarette, drinking my scotch.
They're all sitting there kind of happy, and Brian's sitting there happy too with his rifle looking through the scope from like 20 feet away, 100 feet away, saying, all right, this could be the greatest vacation ever.
It was awful when that happened. And then my girlfriend is a very kind of like social dragonfly, and she just planted herself in the middle and was like, hey, Brian, come on over here, join us. And it was just like, I want to light you on fire.
I am blown away by that.
Yeah.
And I don't think I could ever talk to your girl again.
She's very like, she's good with being in awkward social situations, and she's almost like, it's her job kind of.
Depending on your perspective, good.
I just figured she was handing you the bullets for the rifle.
No, she's really good with that stuff, and she kind of gets a little angry when I pull away and like regress in the crowd, which is constantly, basically.
I'm just imagining her in the middle of, oh, hey, Brian, come over here. Hey, Brian, what's the name of that Fish song again? Let's get these guys going.
They were playing like Steely Dan and like Margaritaville, and there was one song that it was the worst. It was the worst.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, Brian, do you want to play the acoustic bass now? And I was like, no, I don't want to. I'm just going to sit over here and
wow. Do you know, I couldn't name a Steely Dan song, I don't think, if I had to. If you offered me $1,000 right now to name a Steely Dan song, I wouldn't be able to get $1,000. I have no clue. I couldn't name one song by Steely. I swear to God.
Wow.
If you played me a Steely Dan song and told me this is Steely Dan, I'd be like, oh, I know that song. I have no idea. What did Steely Dan do? Like, what are they famous for?
I thought that you're talking about a football player, to be honest with you. I don't even know what we're talking about right now.
Steely Dan Marino. He played for the Dolphins for 17 years. Yeah, I don't know. Could you name a Steely Dan song?
Is it Carry Deacon Blue? On My Way? No, it's Kansas Fred.
No, yeah.
There's a song called Deacon Blue.
How's it go?
A song called Deacon Blue. I can't remember. Yeah, but like, you know. Wait.
Oh, carry on my way.
Yes. No, that's awesome. Oh.
Hey, 19.
They had a big popular hit. They had a big Reeling in the Years or something.
You're reeling in the years.
That's Steely Dan, right?
I don't know.
And there's something in the dark. And a fire.
The only line I know. The only line I know is he says, hanging the things you do, baby, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know that. Like, I know that
Ricky don't lose that number.
Ricky don't lose it.
Wait, Ricky don't lose that number. Steely Dan. Steely Dan's a good group, then.
You're awful.
That's a good song.
Ricky don't lose that number is a good song.
Ricky don't lose that number.
This is Deacon Blue. This is the
day. Hold on. Yeah, I've never heard this in a million years. I've listened to more classic rock and not known half of the songs, and I'm sure this was probably on it, but I don't know this. Ricky, don't lose that number. It's not a bad song.
You're awful. Why don't you go to Fire Island and get a joke.
It's
band
not
together.
A bad song, is what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting it on. It's not on my MP3 player, but I wouldn't. Like, if I was walking through a supermarket and the Muzak version of Ricky Don't Lose That Number came on, I'd probably start singing it to my wife as we were walking through the supermarket. And then I'd be divorced minutes later, but still.
Well, that was the thing. It's kind of like songs that everyone sort of knows the lyrics to, so everyone sings to it. And two guys will play guitar, and then everyone sings.
Awesome. Brix Avalon points out that Steely Dan rips.
Yeah.
No, I think he meant that they're ripped.
They work out a lot? Yeah.
Okay. I thought he meant rest in peace because they're dead.
Oh, man, seriously. Thoughts and prayers.
Well, the real question is, why would Brian, after such a horrendous time 2 years ago, go back to this place? Like, if I had a hard time once, I wouldn't go back.
Isn't one of the guys, isn't the main guy from Steely Dan dead, actually?
Okay.
I have no idea. Why would Brian go back to a Steely Dan concert 2 years later if he had such a bad time?
Exactly. All right. What I'm saying is that it's why would I live this life? I hate social situations, and they drive me nuts. You can't get away from it. There's people everywhere. So, I mean, I'll go to this, and I'll enjoy it because the people there, I've actually had some great conversations with people. And I'm telling you, the food is freaking phenomenal. This is the place where we killed the pig. We stuck the pig on a spit, and we
wait. You killed the pig?
No. We didn't kill it.
Destroyed it.
It was dead. We just ate
crushed it. You know, that's how we meant to kill it. So you're telling me that you will base a week's vacation on the fact that you're going to get free food that's really tasty for that week?
And I know there's going to be interesting. They're very selective. They sort of interview the people there. Everyone's sort of artistic and stuff.
But let's take a step back, though. That in and of itself is a big selling point. Because you just tried to play off that the food being so good was a big thing. Like, that's percentage-wise, how much of it was the fact that you were going to get good food for free?
That was a percentage-wise number. It's hard to put a number. Maybe 40% of my decision of being there was like, wow, I'm telling you, the food is top-notch. And it's like free beer and free liquor. Everyone makes there's a bunch of people there who are bartenders or like aficionados of the cocktails, so everyone's making cocktails.
Yeah, we know Fire Island cocktails.
I learned I nailed down my Jack Rose this weekend, so I've got that in my pocket now.
Wait, hold on a second. Could you speak English? I nailed down my Jack Rose.
Rose is a classic cocktail with made with applejack and grenadine and
what is applejack?
Applejack's like an apple-based whiskey. And it's delicious.
And grenadine, that almost sounds good.
It's, okay, let me get this straight now that I said I've nailed it down. It's applejack, like 8 parts applejack, 3 parts fresh lemon juice, and like a dash of grenadine. On the rocks, shaken, and then poured into a chilled cocktail glass. Delicious. Mm.
I thought it was a sexual position that you were talking about.
It's a great Steely Dan drink.
And so it's that, and I know I'm going to be sitting on the beach reading for like 12 hours at a shot and coming in and drinking free beer.
And that I understand, It's just the fact that you keep throwing out the selling point of the food. It's just so weird. It's kind of weird to me. And this is coming as a fat guy. Then I obviously enjoy, I know my way around a plate. I'm going to do what I can to be there with it as much as possible. But
you've never set a vacation, Chris? To the fact that you were going to get good food there, like never went to Philadelphia to get a cheesesteak, that was the only reason.
I went to Ohio to go see the world's largest cuckoo clock, and on the way back from Ohio, I drove through Philadelphia because, I don't know, I figured I can get drugs there pretty easily. And while I was there, I had a cheesesteak.
Okay.
And I actually was there with a young lady who was a vegetarian, and I got her to eat a cheesesteak.
Ooh, that's big.
So you vacation for the drugs. Basically, well,
not you're saying. Not anymore. When I was a younger man, absolutely. I lived for the drugs, so it was more than just vacation. I worked and vacationed for the drugs.
By the way, was it easy to get drugs in Philadelphia?
The 3 times I've been there, sure. Well, not drugs, just like, you know, pot and hash and stuff like that. Why?
I was just curious, because you set it up, but you didn't tell us whether or not you succeeded.
Oh, yeah, no, I've succeeded every time I've been in Philadelphia. And actually, I think the time with that girl, I might not have. I honestly don't recall. But I mean, I wasn't copping heroin on a street corner. You know, I'm talking about getting pot or getting hash or
fag.
You know. Yeah, I know. Hippie. Go play Steely Dan with your faggot friends. Eating foie gras.
Keith, you ever set up a vacation because of the food?
No.
Never?
No. I'd go on vacation to eat, but not at any specific place.
Let me put it this way. For Thursday night, we had Bloody Marys. That's right. We ate Bloody Marys for dinner. that means it's a bloody. He calls it a Bloody Gary. It was because it's so like architectural. There's the Bloody Mary with like two deviled eggs, smoked salmon, four smoked shrimp, fried in bacon grease, a stick of bacon, some prosciutto cheese, and a celery stick and a pickle. And it was just, it was a meal. That's what we had for Thursday. I'm telling you.
The food I'm sorry. If that was on the travel brochure, I think I'm not saying, oh, God, I got to get there. I got to get there. Wow, I can have deviled eggs and bacon and prosciutto with a vodka tomato sauce drink. Thanks.
Oh, it was great.
I'll pass.
It was good.
I'll pass every time.
Is that what Bloody Mary is, vodka and tomato sauce?
Vodka, tomato sauce, bitters, horseradish.
Worcestershire.
What's the point?
I don't know. It's really gross, to be quite honest. Don't get me wrong. People who love Bloody Marys, there are certain people who supposedly make good Bloody Marys, and there are people who make bad Bloody Marys. And if you get a good Bloody Mary, supposedly you can fall in love with it. To me, as an Italian dude whose my life has more or less revolved around eating sauce for like the first 16 years of my life, sauce with every meal, or gravy as some Italians call it.
Sunday gravy, yes.
Yeah, no, it's not Sunday gravy, because Sunday gravy is brown, and it goes on meat.
Sunday ragu.
All right, so a sauce, you know, to me, it's been part of my life, So to me, having a drink that just tastes like cold ragu or Francesco Rinaldi, some sort of cheap jarred sauce, cold with alcohol and celery in it, to me, not appealing. And I've tried it. I've tried it multiple times. Tried to get into it. Just doesn't work for me. Tastes terrible.
He's right, though. A bad Bloody Mary is bad. Like, they're really... You get maybe a third of the way through it, and it's just... Ugh. But a good Bloody Mary is just delicious.
It still just tastes like tomato sauce, though, for the most part, right?
No. I mean, that's the thing. In my opinion, a good Bloody Mary is spicy. So, like, it has a lot of horseradish to it. There's hot sauce in it. There's, like, a lot of kick and okay, some so back into it.
So spicy tomato sauce is what it tastes like.
I mean, and there's a vinegary back to it, sort of, like if you use the pickle or something. And there's vodka in it. it's good.
So isn't it like a Bloody Maria, really?
Dude, I'm with Brian. Bloody Marys are so good.
They're really good.
If they're made right, they are good, man.
And this one had like all of these different. It was a meal on top of the Bloody Mary.
Yeah,
and if you ate it right, you could like make your way through it. And I was full by the end of it. It was awesome. But
it's more like a Gustavo. What's that tomato sauce?
Gazpacho.
Gazpacho. Yeah, that was more like.
I actually went out to eat a couple nights ago to a place that had gazpacho. I didn't have it. I just thought that'd be a nice tie-in to your story. I have nothing to add.
I guess according to BIS Vanessa in the chat room, a Bloody Maria has tequila, and you were offered the decision to use tequila or vodka, and I took the tequila because it was supposed to be like a spicier drink. So I guess I had a Bloody Maria. How about that?
Very good. Very good. You made my joke a reality, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, it just doesn't do anything for me. I never could see myself doing a Bloody Mary in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's one drink that I always want to try every drink, but I don't necessarily want to try that one. There was one other drink that sounded gross to me. I don't remember what it was, though. It wasn't the Clamato beer, but it was
a rusty nail.
What is a rusty nail?
I don't know. I just know it's a drink.
I know that. It's like, I think it's a scotch-based drink. Scotch is the liquor, and it's a weird thing to miss scotch with.
It's whiskey, bourbon, and turpentine put in a blender with gasoline.
The other night, my dad was drinking rye Presbyterians, and I guess it's like two parts, like one part rye and then two parts ginger ale, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted in my life, rye Presbyterian.
That sounds good. Rye and ginger ale?
Rye and ginger ale, yeah. Ugh.
I hate scotch and whiskey and all that stuff.
The other thing I had that I was surprised didn't taste good, and I mean, I did it because I was watching Sex and the City at the time, obviously, was I had an apple teeny for the first time.
And you think it's not good.
And I think an apple teeny tastes... Maybe it was just where I got it and it was made horribly. An apple teeny didn't really taste like apple or vodka or gin at all. It tasted kind of like turpentine. It tasted kind of like I expected a rusty nail to taste.
No, it was made wrong then because I had a blueberry martini, which is the same thing basically.
Oh, a blutini.
A blutini, yes. I had one of those at Outback and it was the most delicious thing I've ever had in my life.
He's drinking his cocktails.
You get fancy little drinks at the Outback Steakhouse.
Do they give you umbrellas and all like the crazy kind of accoutrements with it?
There was a little umbrella in it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take give me a Bloomin' Onion and a Slippery Nipple, please. Thanks.
Did they had to have a name for it? Do you remember what the name of the blueberry
Martini? That's all it was called.
A Blutini?
Yeah, Blutini, actually. Yes, it was called that. It was one of the most delicious things I've ever had in my life, I think.
Would you base a vacation around it?
Yes.
Around going to get that on a daily basis.
Yeah, man, you got screwed out of an Appletini. Appletini's delicious. It's all basically just syrupy sugar is what it tastes like when you get it right.
The one time, and I got it, I was at a place, and it was that my wife ordered it, and we weren't watching Sex and the City. I hate to pull the curtain back, but my wife ordered it, and it was given to her. She took a sip and looked at me like, "Oh my god, I think I just drank fire." Good, and I'm just like, "Just give it to me, I'll drink it." And it was like, "Oh, it was the worst thing I ever had in my life." And of course, I went on to drink it.
Can you tell us where? Or?
No, absolutely not. I'm not gonna sandbag one of my favorite bars on Staten Island, the Burrito Bar.
Oh, I thought it was like a chain place. I thought everyone gets their drinks at like Applebee's or Outback.
If I was gonna sandblast my favorite bar, the Burrito Bar, that would be wrong of me. I love that place. I would never do anything about it. You know what? I love that place. Just don't order the Appletini.
Hey, Chris,
what's up?
Who ordered the Appletini?
What do you mean?
Did you actually go out of your way and order the Appletini?
I think my wife did. I think my wife ordered it for herself. Why?
Just curious.
It's apple juice flavored.
Delicious. I wish it tasted like apple juice. That's what I was hoping for. I guess that's what my wife was hoping for. It didn't taste anything like that. It tasted disgusting.
What is an actual martini? Isn't that just like gin. Vodka and vermouth?
Gin.
Oh, it's gin? I thought it was vodka.
A vodka martini is with vodka. Okay. A martini is gin.
And vermouth,
you're supposed
right?
to put a splash of vermouth around the glass and dump it out.
Oh, wow. That's a super dry martini.
But if you really get a real martini, they just pour gin in a glass. Stop being silly with the vermouth.
Well, a martini is a glass of gin?
Sort of.
You're supposed to have a splash of vermouth in it. A splash. And 99% of the time, you just tell them extra dry and they just don't. They just put gin in a glass.
I think the proper ratio for a normal martini is 12 parts gin to 1 part dry vermouth.
I know that one of our friends who's been a bartender. Oh my God, my phone is making noise. I hope I'm not getting called to work right now. But one of our friends who's a bartender would say, as much as they tell you you're supposed to put this much vermouth, this much gin.
Yeah,
if you attempt to put vermouth in a martini, other than to just whisk it around the glass and dump it out, you will get smacked by most people that order from you, because it's like they don't want the vermouth. That's not what they want in a martini. A martini is supposed to be gin.
I think next week, I have a lot of ingredients in my house, some liqueurs and things and whatnot. I think next week during the course of the show, I will make drinks for everybody. So everybody choose a drink this week, and I will prepare that drink for you next week.
Yeah. Which one? An Appletini?
If you would you like a real Appletini?
I would like an Appletini. I want a chocolate teeny. I want a blue teeny.
So we're gonna go teeny next week?
I want a teeny others. those are the four drinks
you
that
get
I
get effed up on those.
Could you do bottle tricks like cocktail like when you're making them though? Like put it around your back?
Can I smash glass all over the room?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, do you have padding for the floor?
See, my new favorite drink is vodka and a Red Bull. That is just very good, man. Could you get the upper and the downer together, and it makes you crazy.
Oh, you know what else that reminds me of? There's a new team in baseball. They're called the Florida Marlins. Yeah,
Red Bull and vodka, man. It's the way to go. Keith, don't ever tell me.
As Keith pulls out a 1.5 liter bottle of vodka from his bag of tricks.
This was my gift for Chris, but he can't have any today.
Yeah, you notice this he got pop off.
Premium pop off vodka. Because I realized, why on earth would you pay, if you're mixing it anyway with something sweet like Crystalite, why on earth would you pay more for Grey Goose or you know?
You're right.
I'd love it. I'll be honest. I'm as much as I enjoy a vodka with a nice Crystal Light or something along those lines. I like beer more than anything else.
Rob,
I'm simple and easy with beer. What's up?
Our producer Rob was just telling me you get a headache from cheap vodka. I didn't know that. Wow.
That's supposedly the selling point behind Grey Goose, is the fact that Grey Goose doesn't necessarily taste so much better than anything else. Wow, the air conditioner sounds like it's going to explode, the noises it's making. That was just terrifying.
That's Freddy. Freddie's making those noises.
Great, that's what we need—a wind tunnel on it. Thanks. But as it's the selling point behind Grey Goose is supposedly that you it's the lack of headache from it. I don't know if it's like no nitrates or something in it. That's the big selling point behind it because it doesn't necessarily taste so much better than anything else.
I drank about 5 glasses of Grey Goose last night and I got a rocking headache right now. I can tell you, they're wrong.
Lies.
It's made with chasers.
You think that has anything to do with the half a gram of Coke though? I'm just saying.
I did not use any Coke with the. I wouldn't mix Coke.
Okay, Pepsi.
With,
Pepsi.
Yeah, no. That's disgusting. That's not the proper mixer for vodka.
Sorry. But yeah, as I was saying, like beers is the thing to do. I actually about a week ago, I went to my friendly neighborhood King Cullen, and as I was in King Cullen, I did my supermarket shopping. King Cullen, for those that don't know, for those of you that don't live across the street from my house, is a supermarket. And as I went through the King Cullen, I got to the beer aisle. I was getting ready to. I was getting over to the beer aisle, and I was looking. I just want to start saying economical, maybe like a nice Coors Light or something cheap and light beer, Bud Light, whatever. And I noticed they have a 12-pack of Michelob Ultra in cans, and they're on sale. I was like, oh snap! I'll grab that. I'll take it. I'm good to go. And I take it. And I go home. Everything's great.
Snap.
Oh snap! Exactly. I get home. I put all the groceries away, and then I open up the box and start putting the Michelobes into the refrigerator, and I'm noticing, geez, these cans feel sort of weird. And I'm looking at them, and they're shaped kind of like a Red Bull. They're long, thin cans, and I found that to be the most disturbing thing in the world. Huh. I likened it to people who used to smoke Capri cigarettes like 10 years ago. I don't even know if Capri still exists as a brand anymore. But if for those that don't know, Capris, they basically look like little joints. They're tiny little baby, little pretty girl cigarettes.
I used to love those. My friend Nancy used to smoke those, and when she would give them to me, I loved them because they were so light to smoke.
I never smoked a Capri, I don't think, ever in my life. I should have. They look cool.
It's because you're a man.
They're the biggest selling cigarette on Fire Island.
Are they? Yes. Oh, I would imagine so. But this Michelob Ultras now in these new 12-ounce high-top cans, to me, are the Capri of beers. It's the most. They're the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my entire life. Don't get me wrong. They were delicious. They were tasty. I felt like I was exercising, working out, and getting caffeine at the same time. And taurine.
They got a couple of new flavors of Michelob Ultra now. I saw it out, too. Do you know what flavor they have? Cactus and lime.
I did see the cactus and lime. I didn't try. Oh, you know what? I think I did try it, and I think I was bored with it.
Yeah, and they have pomegranate orange, I think, too, now.
I've had pomegranate, just straight pomegranate Michelob Ultra at your house, Fred. I brought them to your house to drink.
They were all right. They were a little sweet. I likened it to like the cherry wheat, like Samuel Adams type of thing.
You
could drink two and that's it.
I liken it to cherry Bartles and James coolers, wine coolers.
It's no Clamato. I'll give you that.
Oh, Clamato is gross.
You should use Clamato to make your Bloody Marys. So you have tomato, clam, beer, celery, Worcestershire sauce, a dog... clam clumps.
You know, it's funny you should say that about the beer. I guess it's not that funny. You talk about beer all the time, Chris. But I don't. I'm not a big beer drinker. I'm usually into the liquor. And this summer, I've been drinking beer. I've been drinking a lot of beer.
Like, what kind, though, Bri?
I've been drinking Stella. Stella Artois, I believe, is the correct pronunciation. Or
Artois.
Or I'm gay.
Stella Artois.
It happened early in the summer. I was doing some yard work for my girlfriend's mother in New Jersey, and I was just really, really thirsty. And I was late for – I actually had to get home in time to go to sleep and come to the radio show. So I drove from New Jersey, and I was in traffic, and it just took me a long time. And then I had to drop off the car, get into a subway, and then take the subway over. By the time I got home, I was freaking – I was really, really thirsty, and I opened up the fridge, and like the milk was bad. I had nothing else to drink, but I had beer left over from a party that I threw in like January, and I popped open one of these things. There was only one unclean glass, or one clean glass. All the rest of it was dirty.
There was only one dirty glass, so I had to use it.
but it wasn't even a glass; it was an old spaghetti sauce jar, and it was empty and clean. And I poured the beer into that thing. And I drank that whole thing just standing there, like right in front of the fridge. I didn't even move. I didn't close the door. I just drank the whole thing down straight, and it was delicious. Beer is really good. I've been missing out all these years.
It's like mother's milk.
Finally. Finally, you're waking up and realizing.
When you're thirsty, beer is incredible.
I disagree.
Except for the fact that it dehydrates you and does nothing to actually refresh you other than give you the feeling that you're getting refreshed in your head.
I drank it down with... I can't think the number of gulps, but I drank that whole spaghetti jar of beer down, and then I grabbed another beer and poured it back in and went and sat down. I went through like 3 beers in a good 10 minutes.
I liken beer to being the Keith of drinking. It's hypochondria. You think you're getting refreshed, but you're just dehydrating yourself. It's not doing anything for you.
Well, it got me drunk, and that, it works.
I hate the taste of beer. I know I've said it a million times, but I don't see me ever coming over to the beer side.
That's really what's kind of weird to me, is that I have been that guy for my entire life. As a result, I've figured out different ways to mix cocktails and drink liquor and stuff, and now I'm actually warming up to beer. I'm enjoying it.
I went out on, I said before, where I went out the place that had gazpacho the other night. I went out on Friday night and had a couple of drinks, and I was experiencing a bunch of new beers that I'd never had before. I had a nice smutty nose. I had a nice 6-point. I had something called wit wheat or something like that. I really enjoyed my. I love a beer. Some beer,
especially beer tasting too. Going with the selections.
And the thing is, I'm a guy who likes very, very light beers. I like light, airy, you know, Coors Lights, Bud Lights, Michelob Ultras, sissy beers, as it were. The seven up of beers, if you will. And as I'm going through this, you know, even though that's the case, I do enjoy the flavor of some of the thicker, some of the ales, some of the pills. And it's like, I mean, like really getting into like some different things. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not having a triple bock and enjoying myself because it tastes like, I don't know, mud soup. But
well, let me ask you something. For somebody like me that doesn't like beer, if I was going to try a beer, would you recommend like something along the Bud Light lines?
I guess I'd recommend Vanessa's theme song start.
All right, I'll have that.
Hey, Donna, you're not on the air, so we got to stop the song now. Hey,
so
guys.
So would you recommend like a Bud Light kind of thing, or would you recommend one of the darker, like...
I would recommend like a Dylan mixed with a Brandon of a beer.
Because those dark beers, do they have like a strong beer flavor, or are they like a different type of... you know what I mean?
I would recommend like a Frozenskanner, like a wheat beer, because it kind of has like a nice aftertaste.
I think it's too much flavor for him.
Really? Too much flavor?
I think that's too much flavor for someone who doesn't like beer.
I'm disagreeing. That's how I start too. I go with the light beers, and those wheat beers are delicious. Plus, if you order at a bar, a respectable bar, they'll give you a little bit of lemon in it, and it makes it sort of not so beery.
But the point is, Frozenskanner is not as light as some other things that you can start with. I'm not saying start thick, but Frozenskanner is definitely not light enough, I don't think, for a dude that doesn't like beer.
I'm thinking of Hefeweizen, some sort of like wheat beer, and put like a little slice of lemon in it. Delicious.
I'm thinking of Schiesenkuchen. Oh, you know what? We'll try Machenhorten.
I sent you that video in secret, Chris.
The Führer 91 is my favorite. It's my favorite drink ever.
Okay, so next week I'll mix cocktails. The following week, each of you bring me a nice chilled beer that you think I should drink, and I will drink beer on the show.
No, you want the following week or next week?
No, because I want to drink the cocktails I'm making next week.
I'm telling you, just like a nice ice-cold Michelob Ultra or a nice ice-cold Coors Light. Like, that's the way for a young man to start. Go light. The lighter, the better. 7-Up beers. That's what you're looking for.
You can start with like a Mexican beer or like a Dos Equis or a Corona or something light, and with a little bit of snap to it and not too much.
Do you want it in a baba, Keith? Do you want it in a bottle so you can suck it too? Come on, grow up. Have a beer.
So when I'm drinking this beer, what kind of song should I listen to? Like some kind of a Mexican song or
I have a song right here on my MP3 player that I can play that we haven't heard any time recently that we can listen to.
Nope, don't like it.
Be here! Hey, Donna, this song got really low. I'd like to drink some beer and snort some blow. What? Like as friends. Not in a bad way, as a friend. As a good guy who just likes to hang out and do things. Hey, Vanessa, what's going on, buddy?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear
no,
us?
No doing blow.
I'm sorry. I got a little confused. I got caught up in the moment. I was wound up. Everything was getting a little crazy. Does everything sound okay to you? Everything feel all right on the hottest of all lines?
Yeah, I think it's good. How do I sound to you?
Oh, magnificent as always. Magnificent as always.
Last time I spoke to you, Chris, you were polluted drunk. It wasn't exactly on the air. It was a little after hours studio time. And, you were...
appropriate?
I think you said the words eating ass like 150 times.
So very appropriate then. Just very, very appropriate. Yeah, we last week, post-show, like 4 hours after the show for some reason, we were, or 2-3 hours after the show, we were in the room talking about doing stuff, and somehow Vanessa called in. I guess, was the camera on? Did you know that we were there? Did you see us?
Like, no. Keith had texted me. Keith had texted me, and I took a chance and called the hotline, and there you all were.
Yeah.
Drunk.
Yeah, I don't really know what happened. We haven't posted that post show yet.
And eventually naked.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's right. I was actually nude.
Everyone took their shirts off.
Oh, man.
Which was, including me, which was sexy time.
I was just going to say, yeah, Bunny Knuckles just pointed out, don't forget you're all topless. Yeah, I got to be honest, I didn't realize that was last week. I thought that was a lot longer ago.
When did you think it was?
I don't know, September. September of the two millenniums ago that I got beamed to.
Were you guys all clowning me?
Oh, Jesus.
Because I wasn't there.
Yes, we were clowning you. Clown.
Actually, they did do impressions of you, because I said, is Brian there? And they all did their version of you.
Let it rain.
You want to do a version of Brian?
No.
Go ahead, Chris.
No,
start. You can start.
No, I will not. I've apologized in the past. I'm a gentleman, and I'm sticking by what I say. I love Brian. He's a great person. Yeah, maybe we need to post that today, I guess. I forgot about that post show. I totally forgot that it existed, and I forgot that it was only 7 days ago.
Yeah.
A little sassy. All right, forget all that, Vanessa. That's the past. We're here today. It's the future. Right?
So I went to see The Dark Knight yesterday. Popular movie that's going on.
Before you go further, please, you're not going to make it thought I have to take my headphones off because I haven't seen it, right?
No. Okay. No, I'm not going to talk about the movie at all.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to talk about the movie at all. I'm going to talk about the people who were at the movie with me. Which, this isn't a new topic. Like, this is something that, I mean, isn't it kind of just understood that people talking in movies is a bad, bad, bad thing? And that everyone makes jokes about it. Everyone makes jokes about people yelling at the screen and all of that goes on. So why does it still happen? Please explain to me why it still happens. Here was my experience yesterday. This is what happened to me. I sit down. We're in like the fifth row back maybe. It's kind of close, which the guys who were sitting next to me, one of them in particular thought it was really close, way too close to be sitting. But it was crowded, so he starts in with I told you we should have gotten here earlier. Mm. This close. Man, it's mad close. Man, this is
mad,
close.
Mad?
I'm not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. 10 minutes of him saying the word close. In full speaking, like, you know, full volume, like you would speak normally, like we are all speaking now. And at some point, I actually looked at him, and I gave him, like, the look, the shut up look. And he looked at me, and he said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to complain this much. It's just, this is close.
So he was
really close.
I don't mean to complain this much, but I just really thought that Glenn Close was going to be in this. I'm really annoyed that she's not.
Well, that brings up the next point, which is the next topic of conversation after we finally got past the fact that the seats were really close, too close. He didn't like them that close. Then every time an actor that he recognized came on the screen, he would say the name of the actor to make sure that everybody knew that that was someone he was aware of.
Oh my God.
As soon as you see, you know, Alfred the first time, he goes, Michael Caine.
He's ruining it.
Michael Caine.
Wait.
That's Alfred on the screen. That's not Michael Caine.
Who just names, like, actors' names?
This is the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my life. Christian Bale.
Bro, Heath Ledger. Check it out.
Yeah, well, and then when you see the Joker the first time, he goes, Heath Ledger. He's the one that died, yo. Heath Ledger. He died.
Dude,
24
I feel...
years old, I think he died. That's Heath Ledger. Like Heath Ledger.
Yeah, I am mad died. Close to Heath Ledger right now.
Was he with someone that's new to the movie experience and new to Hollywood, maybe, and he had to explain each actor?
That's actually...
I don't think so. In fact, I don't think he was speaking to anyone exactly. He was just speaking.
Oh,
and
no.
Then at some point, one of his friends who had been... There was a group of them, and they were split up, and they couldn't they couldn't speak to each other enough. So there had been a seat in between us, and his friend got up and came over and sat in that seat so that they could have a full-on conversation. Then they spoke to each other.
You would think that any self-respecting animal in a movie theater would at least text his buddy from across the room or use his Nextel across the room to get that. Doot, doot.
Or at least...
Mo, yo, Heath Ledger.
At the very least, Christian Bale. Yo.
Dude, I am mad close.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine. I just don't understand. It doesn't make
it
any
went
sense.
It went on the entire movie. Like, it started in the previews, and you think that maybe they're going to settle down. You know, like, okay, the lights just went off. Like, we're not, you know, we haven't acclimated to the quiet yet.
And that I understand, like, because being a younger guy who is a douchebag and likes to make things uncomfortable and annoying for people. When I was younger, I definitely used to make a point of being like the dude who, during the credits and during the preview and stuff, would yell and cheer and make noise and act like a total...
I hate you.
But as a kid, you hate me now too, but that's different. But yeah, no, as a kid, I definitely used to do that during the previews, like a moron. I definitely did, and I hate it. I was the guy who would start. I'd stand up and give a standing ovation for the when they would say, "Come to the come get your popcorn in the concierge."
There would
be words. I was a total jerk.
We would exchange words in movie theater.
I don't think there would be words exchanged. I think we'd exchange fisticuffs.
It might have reduced to that.
Obviously. But now as an adult, I couldn't imagine doing anything like that.
Yeah, Vanessa, how old was this guy anyway?
It's like in the 20s. I mean, these weren't teenagers. These were, you know, could have been anywhere from like 25 to 33 years old. And they furthered the plot along too, you know, when something was going to happen that everyone realizes that the plot is going somewhere, so then they announce that that's where it's going. Like
they win.
I don't know if it's just, is it real? Yeah, exactly. They win. Like, oh, you saw that? That's crazy. You saw that? That's crazy, yo. Heath Ledger.
Vanessa, look, can I ask you something candidly, honestly?
How close were you?
Were you too close to the screen?
I chose that row. I actually liked that row, but,
really?
But he didn't like it that close.
That mad close?
Mad close.
Vanessa, I was in the
these
same...
These kids are close.
I was in the same movie.
What's the matter?
Tell me you're close again, please. I was in the same movie yesterday, as a matter of fact, and...
Where were your seats?
I was pleasantly in the mid-rows, sort of in the middle. Because I'm insane.
That's good, not too close.
No, I wasn't too close. Because I'm insane, and I walked to the movie theater 3 hours beforehand and bought tickets, and then I walked to it an hour and a half beforehand, and I stood in line so that I would get appropriately close and not too close seats. But I had like a school of sort of children behind me that were quite annoying. And
time out. A school of sorta children? What are sorta children?
They're not 8 and they're not 16. They're somewhere in the middle.
They're children. They're just regulation children, just so you know.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they're right. They were as irritating as any other child I've ever seen in the world. So yeah, I guess they were children.
Okay.
Kicking the back of my seats and yes, talking through the trailers. And I turned to my girlfriend. I was like, I'm gonna have to do something about this if this doesn't stop after the trailers. And she's like, I know. She's rolling her eyes because I regularly like stand up and start.
Regulate.
I do. I throw down. I start crap in a movie theater.
I wish you had been there yesterday. I really wish you had been there.
In fact, when I was standing in line, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you want to take the? You would turn around and take those kids' bags and throw them right out the train.
If there was a train door to throw them out, I definitely would have. But
take their popcorn and throw it out the exit door.
they actually settled down. And although, like, the back of my seat got kicked a couple of times when they were excited, and whenever they saw Joker, it was, you know, you'd hear him murmuring in the back about, wow, he's the coolest or whatever. But they weren't obnoxious. But maybe halfway through the movie, when I was standing in line, there was a family in front of me with two very small children. I knew that was going to be a problem. When I'm talking very small, I'm talking like 3 years old. And I'm thinking, like, you know, A, why are you bringing a three-year-old into a movie theater? You know that's going to be a problem, right? You know that that's going to be an issue.
Yes.
There's no way that a three-year-old is going to be able to sit and watch a screen quietly of anything that's happening on there, much less Batman.
My daughter is 4 years, 3 months old. She has never been in a movie theater yet because I think that would be ridiculous to bring a small person to.
Well,
to
sure. Sure enough, halfway through the movie, the kid kicks in and just randomly out of nowhere starts crying and doesn't stop crying. And, like, the parent kind of picks it up and holds onto it and pats it on its back, and it keeps on crying. And it goes on for about 30 seconds or so, and people are shushing it at this point.
It can't be the bombs going off and the fight scene happening that's making the kid cry now.
I spoke up. I yelled at the – I was like, shut it. I yelled at it. I was like – what was it? I was like – take it out or I will, or something like that.
Wait. Did you? I'm sorry, I missed it. Did you say you said that?
Yeah. I said it out loud, and the people, I was with six people, my girlfriend next to me, she was like, shut up.
Take
it out or I will.
So you threatened her child.
Yeah, I definitely threatened her child, and I would have no problem doing it again. And she eventually got up and walked out of the theater with the child like you should have. You shouldn't be in there in the first place with a child. And if it starts peeping, if it starts making noise, you should immediately be jumping out of your seat to escort this thing out the door. And why she didn't do that immediately, she doesn't.
Fred, thank you for your lie of the week. Thanks for your lie of the week.
Vanessa, were there any crying kids in the theater? To top it off?
No, there weren't any crying kids in this one. There were some little kids that I thought might get a little scared. But all the kids seemed to handle it. It was the adults that really couldn't handle it.
There were no kids because the guy would have said crying kid every time you heard the baby cried.
Oh, baby, young one, toddler upset, toddler upset.
At some point there was a big group of people behind us that actually did a really loud shushing of the guy because at some point he got really excited by the Joker, like, and he yelled this time, and he actually applauded at them, like, while he yelled. And he went, Heath Ledger doing a good job with the Joker! And the people behind him were like,
shh! That's awesome.
You should have actually started fighting back on your own as it was going. Every time, like, you got like a, yo, Heath Ledger. Yo, dummy behind me talking. Yo, no. Yeah, inappropriate idiot talking.
Or
this guy next to me being loud.
Or the best thing would have been if you just decided to say, like, when Michael Caine came on the screen, hey, Jennifer Aniston.
Yo, Brad Pitt is the best Batman I ever saw. Yo, you know Jake Gyllenhaal is doing a great job as the Joker. After that faggot movie, I'm amazed he did so good. Was he on Fire Island or something?
By the way, his sister has the most monstrous face I have ever seen in my life. I saw the scenes from that.
Oh,
she's in that
God,
movie, right?
That's so interesting that you say that because the whole way home, I was with Bitey. And we get in the car, and it was like, oh, do you like the movie? Yeah, that was good. Oh, what was wrong with her face? And he complained the entire ride home about the swollen, ugly pig face woman had.
Dude.
Brutal. You don't like her, Brian.
There's a good friend of mine that dated her for like 3 years. They were a serious boyfriend and girlfriend and stuff. Don't say bad stuff about her.
I'm sorry, Finn.
So, Vanessa, you never yelled at anybody. Nothing ever happened. You never confronted. There was no confrontations.
No, I gave the looks, but...
The looks, yeah, they're hard to see in the movie theater.
Wait, you were able to...
In that kind of situation, like, I felt like it could go either way. When you speak up and say something, then the whole rest of the movie might be about you saying something.
Yeah,
I don't care. Like,
that's really weird.
Like, it could devolve into just, you know, into, like, I'm at the movies. I want to talk.
Yeah, it's
if you have a problem with it, you can say you have a problem with it.
It's just a little weird to
but
me.
But I'm going
to
talk.
It's a little weird to me to actually be able to go to a movie and not threaten someone's child while you're there. I've never heard of people not doing that, because I figure that's like that's part of the experience. You go, you have some nachos, some goobers, some popcorn, you threaten infants. I mean, that's what people do.
Dude, I'm...
Then maybe throw their stuff out a window and then yell at them for paying for their tickets with a credit card.
It's like the DVD has ruined the public movie-going experience. Everyone thinks they're in their freaking living room, and they can have a conversation and go out and like, hey, I paid for this. It's going to be a good time.
I'm not suggesting that these people should have brought their child to a theater and that they weren't inappropriate and wrong for bringing a small child to a movie theater. But I don't know. Threatening the welfare of a child is a bit much.
Well, that's
which
what I want
to
know. Bri, did you threaten the child right off the bat, or did you give one of these like first? Like, oh, come on.
I buttoned my lip. They got like five shushes. Literally, the entire movie theater was shushing them, and she was still not doing anything and about it, and I piped up. I told him to take care of the child, or I will.
So, Brian, when you actually took the child out of the theater, what did you do with it?
I wasn't gonna touch the child.
just like in the 80s, or when you would take your goobers and throw them at the screen. He actually threw the baby. there's a child imprint in the middle of Heath Ledger's face.
Chris, I gotta admit, I've had that thoughts of. Phrases exactly like Brian said to them pop into my head at times, and I think I would love to say that because it's annoying, but I would never ever actually say it to somebody.
Especially in a movie theater, no one can see you. You have like the anonymous. You can throw that stuff around without even fear of kind of retribution of getting into a fight.
Although as Brian pointed out last week, he has no problem stepping up and making that move. Whether he's going to get his ass kicked or not, like he's ready to go. It's if nothing else, you got to give him credit for enforcing his convictions, and I got no problem with that. Like I said, I don't even think he's wrong in theory what he's doing. I just think threatening a child is just kind of not cool for an adult to do. I mean, I'm old-fashioned like that. I don't think saying that you're going to do something awful to a child is a good thing.
Well, like I said, I mean, it's not usually very popular with my girlfriend because, I mean, I'm putting her in these kind of situations all the time. And sure enough, when I had it, she hit me on the shoulder. And she's like, what are you doing? And the people I was with were applauding. Like, literally, were like, yes, and, like, kind of, like, clapping. And the
play
I
to
was
the masses.
I am not the only person in there that thought that or wanted to say that thing. I'd be
willing to bet that you were the only person in there that thought about threatening a child. I would think you'd say, hey, shut that kid up. Hey, walk out of here with that kid. Not shut that kid up or I'm going to.
Brian was playing Commissioner Gordon in the audience.
Michael Caine. Oh, no, wait. Who's that?
Brian, what would it take for you to speak up in a theater? Like, what kind of indiscretions of your fellow moviegoers?
Someone behind him was chewing. Someone behind him was chewing very loudly at one point, so he stabbed them. He stabbed them in the liver, and they're in intensive care now. But you know what? They'll chew with their mouth closed next time.
See, every once in a while, like I guess I don't say this kind of stuff all the time. But I do kind of size people up when I'm in public in the light of day and something happens. I do kind of have the thought of like...
If per your perception, you don't do it all that much, you're thinking it constantly.
I am constantly thinking it. I'm walking around the street literally most of the time. Every thought in my head is how much I hate at least five people in my immediate location. And what they're doing wrong and how I'm judging what they're doing. It's bad. It's not a good thing. I'm not bragging about it. But, yeah, I got a hair trigger, patience, whatever.
Right. We discussed it last week. Fred diagnosed you properly. You're the time freak. We know that. We understand that you have issues and you're not going to be able to talk.
But I don't even have to bother sizing that up in a movie theater because you are just – there is – you're sitting in a dark theater. You could be five rows away from the person. They're going to have no idea who to lash out at. I have virtually no fear of getting into an actual real fight with someone in a movie theater. You don't have – I chime up regularly. Pretty much every movie that I go to when people start doing stuff like that, I lean right into them.
For the past couple of weeks now, I've made my decision. I will never go out with Brian socially. Ever. Ever. This is like the only thing that I will do with Brian. I think it's
almost embarrassing. If Brian stays sober, I know that he's okay. He's okay to hang out with. I've had good times with him. Actually, even when he gets a good buzz on, he's fun to hang out with. When Brian gets drunk, he's intolerable. Okay. But these things sound like they're sober experience.
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of alcohol. I think he's insane.
But you know, I guess maybe every social engagement that I've been involved with Brian has revolved around. Maybe I'm just constantly drink. Maybe that's actually more what the thing is, and there should just be drinks at everything I do. But yeah, every time I've never had any one of these moments of bravado in the street where he's threatening people. It's never happened around me.
Really? Never. Seen it happen. And you hung out with Brian a couple. You know, used to work with Brian.
I've hung out with Brian more than a couple of times. More than a couple of times. I've never seen it. I've never seen it happen again. I'm trying to. I guess breathe in, breathe out, and not let myself get riled up by this stuff. Because whatever, he's kind of like a crazy, stupid maniac, and it's fine. That's who he is. He's not a bad person because of it. It's a disease. I don't hate you for having cancer. So why am I going to hate you for having unbridled rage for being a Hulk fan? As I do a callback.
If you were in that movie theater, you would like the fact that I was in there to be able to stand up and tell that person what to do, which they followed my instructions.
But we wouldn't necessarily want to be with you.
No, exactly. No.
We would like that you did it.
That's true.
But
I will go so I will go so far as to say that a dude who's threatening a kid, I do not think is cool under any circumstances, regardless of how much...
That wasn't a real threat. Chris, you're blowing that out of proportion. It wasn't like a real threatening of a kid. It was just like a thing you say, like, do this or I'm going to do it for you. Like,
If you say anything about my daughter, and granted, I'm not an idiot. I'm not bringing my small child to a movie theater and making her cry, so I'm not dumb. But if you say even that about my kid, I'm punching you. I'm punching you and not thinking twice about it, which is me being a jerk. I understand, and I'm hypersensitive when it comes to my kid, but F you. And granted, this person was wrong. This person was wrong, and I'm not suggesting that they weren't. This person put everyone else in a situation. You do not say anything about someone else's kid.
And you know what? I think a better angle to take would be that they were doing something wrong to their child.
Yes.
Like, I think your child is upset, you know, or that's child abuse, jackass.
There you go. Yo, take your kid out of here, dummy.
People are blowing up.
Not shut your kid up or I'm going to. That
know,
is threatening
you
a kid.
You know what, though? I know where he's coming from because when I get mad and I start thinking of things that to say,
I was pushing
I
buttons.
Think the worst possible thing. And exactly, and this is, I mentioned a few weeks ago about people using like the N-word and things and not necessarily being racist. And I said that like if you call someone like fat, and that you're fighting with, or use a racial slur, a lot of times your mind automatically goes to the thing that's going to piss them off the most, naturally, when you get, or at least very people with, like, violent tempers, anyway, even if I think I have one, I just don't act out on it. But, like, you know, I that's what I think.
Wait, Keith, are you saying if you called Brian the N-word, he would punch you in the face?
Yes. Okay. He'd throw my kid right out of the
theater. If Brian threw a baby at Keith while calling him an N-word, then he would miss the line where Heath Ledger said, "Yo, Heath Ledger," at the movie.
Well, let me put it this way, Vanessa. How did you not do anything about the chatty guy in back of you?
He was right next to me. He was next to me. Like, our elbows were touching.
So she was skirt.
And
she was skirt.
So, yeah, you did have a concern that he was a jerk and he was going to do something back.
I felt like it might get louder and worse.
I will say,
if I said something.
I've watched Vanessa whip a man's ass more than once in my life. So I don't think that she was necessarily scared, but I've watched her beat a dude's ass. So
but she's uncomfortable with like getting into a yelling match or someone in public. You know it's going to happen.
You know what, too? Like, when somebody isn't intentionally doing something, they're just stupid. It's kind of harder to, you know, like the guy was being inconsiderate by talking, but I don't think that guy had any intention of talking. I think the guy was just so dumb he was just talking loud in a movie theater, you know, like it's so when you start a fight.
Yo, Michael Caine.
Dude, I am mad close.
Unbelievable. I think
he's mad close.
I honestly think it's fantastic. I think he's a great guy. I think throwing children is a good idea. And I think that Heath Ledger. Oscar-worthy performance.
Morgan Freeman.
Yo, Morgan Freeman. Vanessa, thank you so much for a fantastically sexy report. God bless America. God bless everyone. If people want to check out Vanessa's blog, it is... I'm asking you, Keith.
VanessaCheatwood.blogspot.com.
Nice. Thanks, buddy.
Hi, this is Germ Freak from the DJ New Style Show, creator of Germ Freak Radio, Is It Gay, and several memorable acronyms. Whoa, wait, hold on.
Donna! Where's my box of rice tricks? I said rice, not bran! Oh, whatever!
I apologize. You're listening to Best in Show Radio on HearUsTalk.com. Here's what you might have missed from the DJ New Style Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Germ Freak Radio presents...
Is It Gay?
Oh, wouldn't you guess that it's that time of the show? Yes. That time of the show where Frank likes to go through a few of the things that he is not sure whether they are gay or not.
Is it gay for a guy to drink Tab or Crystal Light?
Tab or Crystal Light?
I drink Crystal Light, though. I do.
That is a little embarrassing. You have to open a little packet and stir it in each time you want a beverage.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen them. You know why? Because I work with 70-year-old women, and they all have their Crystal Light packets. What's your favorite, the yellow or the pink?
I like the pink lemonade.
See that? Even gayer. You picked the gayest of the Crystal Lights. I don't know. We know that Chris from Best in Show has been known to use Crystal Light as a mixer with his vodka beverages. I don't hold that against him. However, I have the association of Crystal Light being an old lady. I need to try to get in some kind of shape. I gotta drop 5 pounds and I'm 90 and female.
The DJ New Style Show is broadcast live from New Jersey every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be! You could also hear it in the Hear Us Talk radio chat room on Pal Talk. The DJ New Style Show is proud to be part of the Hear Us Talk radio network.
I enjoy my Crystal Light and pink lemonade. So when Brian was talking about the movies, all I could think about was the only movie experience I've ever had with Brian was Cloverfield. And luckily nobody was the only movie I've ever seen with Brian in a movie theater was Cloverfield.
Yeah, I didn't chime up at all in that one.
Well, you know what? It was that Battery Park Theater. It was a good place. Everyone was behaving. But I watched Cloverfield again on Thursday. And first of all, my opinion of it actually rose. I think it is a great, great movie. But I started looking into the viral marketing campaign behind the whole thing, because I wasn't involved in that whole thing. And so I'm looking at all these websites, and I'm looking at the MySpace pages that the producers created for the characters. And I know that there's a sequel coming out. I know that the sequel is going to be somebody else had a video camera. As a matter of fact, in the movie, you see another guy with a video camera, and I have a feeling that's going to be like where they're going with it.
I guess investigatory.
I like
that. All right, the big investigatory question that I have then is on their MySpace pages, have they been updated since the day before the movie was filmed?
Well, that's exactly my point. Now, I know that they're continuing these pages because, you know, the movie's going to continue. There's going to be at least one sequel. I have a feeling if it does well, there'll be more. But aside from that, I have a little issue with the fact that they made these pages for the sake of this marketing campaign. They want it to be realistic. People we saw get killed in the movie should not still be saying, "Hey man, want to hang out tonight?" on each other's pages. And it's driving me insane. I don't know who's running it. Maybe Brian knows more.
Well, I haven't been keeping track of it after it was done, but when those things about when they were talking about how if you wanted to go hang out on, you're talking about their MySpace pages and stuff, right?
Right.
If you look at the dates, they should be before the date that it occurred on the movie.
It's 2 weeks ago.
Well, then it's probably just someone is making their own MySpace page and chiming in as a person.
It's the ones that, it's the same pages. It's the actual pages, and everything corresponding to the release of the movie works out. But then whoever's doing this, after the movie was released, they're just still posting all these things on the pages. And the best is people, just regular, ordinary fans and whatever, posting, "Hey, aren't you dead?" Like, that's my favorite part of it.
Well, that's new because
people are actually responding that, "Hey, aren't you dead?"
Yeah, like people that became friends with them, regular, ordinary users, are responding like, "Wait, I thought you got killed. Oh, glad to see you didn't get killed. Like, what happened there?" You know, like...
They were pretty good with it. They didn't do any more posts on it for a long time after the movie. This is new. Are you sure it's not just someone playing a role and going in and posting comments
unless
on the page?
Unless somebody took it over, then maybe the company did abandon it, and whoever was doing it is doing it on their own now. But it's almost like they're still playing. They're still in character because
I saw someone make a post. Wait, what was the girl? The one who was the one who you thought might have been on the helicopter. What was her name?
Lily.
Yeah, I saw Lily's. I went to. She put a MySpace post on my page. She said Michael Caine, which I thought was really weird.
Dude, you sat mad close to my movie.
Actually, it said, "Yo, you look like Tom Sizemore, only really fat." Which I thought was a weird thing for her to post.
And Jay Carter, who was on it in our previously today, you can go check that out at bestinshowradio.com/downloads. If you want to hear the,
yeah, you could do that. But to me, being someone who's easy, I just go to bestinshowradio.com and click on recorded, and then it's all right there. Recorded, you can see video, audio, or torrents. Just get it however you want. We go on iTunes. There's all sorts of great places.
So you can hear a mini tribute to Jay Carter.
If you write "Best in Show" on your TV with a marker,
it says
TV
"Red Rum in the Mirror."
Yeah, you're exactly.
He said, "If anyone is responding to fictional MySpace characters, they need to be yelled at by Brian."
Sadly, I'm probably the person who's responding to those fictional MySpace characters. I am totally wrapped up into that whole viral marketing arg world thing, and I was in on it hook, line, and sinker, particularly with the Cloverfield.
Well,
thing.
I gotta say,
was there an arg to that, or was I thought it was just an advertising? I thought it was just viral marketing.
No, there was an entire arg behind it. There was that's where Slusho came from. There was sort of a backstory involved in how the monster came to be, and it involved like a little ingredient that they were scraping off the bottom of the ocean that they were using to mass market in various different companies owned by the same like Taragutto company. I don't know. Everyone's eyes are probably rolling in the back of their head.
No, not mine. I'm into it now. As of Thursday, I'm into it.
Should I watch Cloverfield? I haven't seen it yet. Should I watch it? Is it a good movie?
Yes, you should absolutely watch it. Yeah.
I can just give you like a plastic cup, like a promotional cup that says Cloverfield on it. It's kind of the same thing as seeing the movie.
But you know what? I don't want... Spoiler alert. The movie's been on pay-per-view. The DVD is out. So
if you
haven't seen it yet, then spoiler... Fred, close your ears. I don't know if anyone noticed at the end of the movie when the tape flips back to their Coney Island.
You can't see anything falling into the
sea. Yeah, I disagree with what you're about to say, but say it first.
I saw something fall into the sea.
It's on the DVD. It's not in the movie.
Really?
I watched the clip online a million times.
Well, it's on the pay-per-view one. The one that's on pay-per-view now. I rewound it 100 times and watched it. You see something from the right side of the screen fall into the water.
Well, we can go on YouTube later and look at the ones, because they showed it from the movie when it happened, because I was obsessed with it when I heard that. Holy crap, is that really what happens? And I looked at it. We're talking about something that's, what, a year ago, 7 months ago, something like that, whatever.
It's new on pay-per-view,
and
though. So
I'm telling you, you do not see it.
It could just be the low quality of YouTube video, because
I
squinted my eyes and I looked for it really, really hard, and I couldn't find it either. But so many people insisted that it was there. And it made me want to go back and see it in the theater the second time just to make sure. But I was with Chris, and I think I might still be, that it again could just be the bad YouTube thing. But you couldn't see it. And I wondered if they would do this, if they would edit it into the later versions of it.
But I saw somebody posted on...
Have you said what it is yet? Have you said it on the air?
What we're talking about. If you look I just said, if you look from the right side of the screen, you see something fall into the water on by Coney Island.
It's the flashback scene on the video,
right? At the very, it's the last thing you see before it goes back to their faces.
Well, in the ARG, it's a Taragudo's satellite that like
right,
a lot of this,
right. Yeah. But I don't want to get too much into that, because it'll entertain me and you and no one else. But as Fred's already not entertained by this whole thing. But somebody posted, did anyone notice something falls into the water off Coney Island at the end of the movie? This was posted on January 17th. So this had to be right after the movie came out. Somebody just happened to catch it in the corner of the screen, staring at the screen. Yeah. So I think it was in the movie theater. I think it's the YouTube quality is the problem.
There's a couple of things that are in there. In fact, when you see the opening of the movie, it shows you, hey, warning, what you're about to see is a government confiscated video or something.
Right, right. I didn't notice that until I watched
it the
other day.
In the bottom right-hand corner, it's stamped with a Dharma stamp.
Oh, no. Is it really? Yeah.
Look at it closely.
Yeah, that is beautiful. I love J.J.
There's
Abrams.
Little things in there that they kind of bury.
I'm such a nerd. I almost got an erection just now.
I can't believe you didn't know that. I can't believe you didn't
know that. No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say I love Jenny Elfman.
I do like Jenna Elfman.
But she's in
that
movie?
She was so wild and crazy in Krippendorf's Tribe.
Michael Caine.
Yeah, so that I don't know. I love movies.
Well, you're inspiring me to go back and look at all the MySpace pages because, I mean, the girl actually had a secret little special site that she was receiving tapes from her boyfriend who died in the ARG, and she was the one who... was passed out on the couch.
On the couch, right. I didn't know why I didn't get when everyone was saying focus on the couch, the person on the couch. When I saw it, I was like, okay, it's a person. I thought it was gonna be. I was hoping it was like Locke or someone.
But all of that ended like when the movie came out. So I wonder if you're just seeing comments from people who are calling themselves by the name or something.
But it's from the same pages though. That's the thing. Somebody has access to the accounts
on MySpace. Huh. When someone posts a message, their name is attached to it. You can click on their name, and it'll take you to their actual page again. So, hey.
Wow.
So maybe someone bought it. Maybe they're not good at marketing. Maybe maybe Cloverfield's a dumb movie.
You really don't like Cloverfield? You don't like it?
No, I thought it was fine. I thought it was adequate. I thought it was an adequate film. I had higher expectations.
It's like 6 inches of movie.
You know... I had higher expectations for it. I thought it was. I thought there was going to be something more there. And you know what? From what you're saying, maybe there was something more there, and I'm just too stupid to pick up on it.
I can't wait for the sequel, though.
Maybe it was the baby that was screaming in the back of the theater while I was there.
Maybe it was Brian throwing the baby against the wall.
Throwing the baby at the screen. You know what? That there was a baby imprint in the top right-hand corner of the screen from a baby that cried, so I don't know.
That's what that was. That was when they were filming that movie, Brian happened to be at Coney Island. He was tossing a baby into the water.
I was actually on set watching one of the films. One shot being filmed from that film, so I really dorked out for a while there. It was down in Soho, and they turned the street into what looked like a monster had just stamped through it. It was pretty freaking amazing. There were upside down cars. It was just shattered.
I thought he was going for a joke. I didn't realize that this is something that really happened. I had no idea that you really went for that.
Yeah. I worked down in Soho, and I was so obsessed by the ARG when it was happening, and I knew the secret names that the producers were using to like hide the fact that they were shooting for Cloverfield. In fact, Cloverfield was one of them. We didn't think that it was going to end up being Cloverfield. But
you're being asked by Bruce Leo while you were there. Did you scream at anybody?
No, I just watched. I
kinda... Hey, monster! I can't hear the dialogue. Stop yelling so loud.
It was a lot of waiting. Like apparently, it took them all night to build this, and it was just like sort of a half street, and they like threw boulders around, and they made it look like a monster had stomped through.
Brian, you waited. Waiting is your kryptonite. How did you wait?
I sat around and I waited and I watched for them to, and it took a long time for them to actually get around to shoot the scene, and it was over in 30 seconds. Like they prepared for it for 2 days, and then everyone stood around and action, and they shot it, and it was over.
Brian, I will be with you the next time when the next movie comes out. When the ARG begins, I will go anywhere you want. I'll be involved with you.
When you watch the ARG, you watch the trailers, you see them like throwing the Statue of Liberty's head around, and you have to judge the actual perspective from where they were so you can try to find their house. I'm walking up and down Soho trying to find the fake house from this fake movie. So I can go
Wait,
to...
what? What? Explain that again?
All right, they're having a party in a house in Soho, and they run out into the street when they're like, what's going on? And if you look in the background, you can see recognizable perspectives of Soho. So you can place where they're actually standing in the street, and from that, you can make guesses as to which building they came out from. So, seeing as we're living in a world that's before the event of the movie, I can go up to their apartment and maybe get something from them.
I finally now have a full grasp on what the ARG experience is. It's stalking fake people. You're stalking fake people.
That's absolutely what it is.
That's honestly, in that description right there of you looking to find the house where these people that aren't real lived in the real world to play a game online, it makes me understand that this is insane. this is insane. I love
it's fun though. It really is.
I love the idea of hidden stuff and playing and fun and hidden. The fact that he's stalking fake people's houses based on the positioning of the...
He threatened their children too, by the way.
It's like World of Warcraft, except in the real world. It's like real World of Warcraft.
It's like when Tom Hanks got...
No, it's real fake World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Real World of Warcraft would be if we were actually like
if there were
fighting
real
with swords.
Okay, yeah, so it's like... Okay, so as opposed to World of Warcraft, which is fake... This is real fake, as opposed to real fake World of Warcraft is what it is.
It's
like, all fake stupid.
It's like LARPing without costumes.
I'll tell you, after this whole conversation...
No, you're in a costume, you dress like a jackass.
Is that a costume, though?
It's a mask.
Uniform. It's his uniform.
I've noticed Fred has been so quiet during this whole thing. I think he's ready to quit the show.
After this whole, you know, talk about this movie, there's no chance in hell I'm ever going to say it. No chance in hell.
He was waiting for us to go into our lost lost analysis.
How honestly, all right, and then I swear I'll drop Cloverfield after this. Will you orgasm if you see the Cloverfield monster on Lost next season? That's the monster.
When you watch the trailer before the movie came out, the noise that it makes sounds like the monster on Lost, and it makes there was a theory going out that that's what it is, and there still is a theory that the monster on Lost.
If you actually take that sound and plug it into a wave player, it gives you the name of a studio. And when you go to that studio and actually stand across the street from it, you could actually smell what the monster sounds like.
Smell what the monster's cooking.
Yeah. Well. Yes. Indeed.
I don't know. I love it though.
I don't know. You guys are insane. I'll be honest with you. This whole, I gotta stop saying I'll be honest with you.
No, please keep saying it.
Okay, I'm gonna lie to you guys. The whole like arguing thing and this whole
stupid.
Well, it's not even so much stupid.
I mean, it's dumb.
It's not even so much as dumb.
It's doofusy.
Doofusy. I'm with you there. As with the whole thing with it, I almost feel like maybe if this is something you want to immerse yourself into, hey, that's cool. It's healthy. It's normal.
I'd go to Fire Island.
It's fine.
Get a warjob.com.
Yeah, it's fine. If that's what you want to do, go for it. But maybe in mixed company, you keep it to yourself. Maybe you don't share with other people that, hey, this is the dude I am. Maybe you treat it as Keith does his radio show at work. Like, it's maybe something like that I have to keep to myself. I'm not going someplace with this. Maybe, you know, like, I mean, that's just the angle that I'm thinking with it. Now on the idea of keeping things to yourself. This past week, a new video blog was published. And this video blog is for something called Dr. Horrible. You guys have any idea what Dr. Horrible is?
Nada. Nothing.
I know it involves Doogie Howser. That's all I know.
Okay. Dr. Horrible is a video, like a mini series that has been released online at drhorrible.net or com. I don't remember. And it's basically, the gist behind it is it's a three-part mini series musical about like a comic book villain style guy or a super villain and his battles with a superhero, and there's a love story involved, and it came in 3 10-minute installments, give or take, and they were released every 2 days, and it's only going to be online until the end of today. At midnight tonight, it disappears offline.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's gone. It's from July 15th to July 20th, they released one act a day of the three acts, and the third act was released yesterday, and after tonight, it disappears, and it's gone. Joss Whedon is actually the guy who...
Of Buffy fame,
is the guy who actually put the thing together, and I'm telling you, unbelievably addicted to this thing, thought it was really, really, really cool. Thought it was just like, it's just weird. It's like, and as Keith was saying before, he said Doogie Howser, the star of it is Neil Patrick Harris. Mm-hmm. And he is Dr. Horrible. And it's just this great thing. I suggest everybody go check this thing out. And as I looked at it, it was weird, but kind of cool in the fact that I wanted people to check it out, and got me into this whole thing. This brings me back to keeping things to yourself or not keeping things to yourself. I have this thing in my mind when I find something that I like, that I want people to know about this thing that I like, But then if too many people know about the thing that I like, it makes me mad. And that's how where I was on Dr. Horrible. So
it's pretty doofusy.
Oh, it's King Doofus. It's worse than stalking fake people from their MySpace pages.
I don't know about that.
It's pretty ridiculous. So
sorry, I just wanted to jump in.
Man, let me tell you something, okay? I think that Barry Bonds is probably going to come back to baseball. I think it's going to be a fantastic thing.
No, but it's really this weird thing that I get into, and I had this whole almost like how do I word this thing? I had like this thing in my head that when I first saw Dr. Horrible Act One, I was just like, holy crap, this is the greatest thing in the world. That I immediately went to the Heroes Talk forum, where you go to heroestalk.com/forum, or just go to heroestalk.com and click on forum. And I posted under movies and TV, like, greatest thing ever, or we find things on the internet, greatest thing ever. Like, I had to get it out there. Like, hey, guys, I found this. You guys got to check this out. And then the next day, like, on, like, Yahoo and MSN's main pages, like, it was blasted, like, advertised for this. And for some reason, this thing is not blowing up. And I don't understand why it's not blowing up. But regardless, I keep it as, like, a little badge of honor to myself that, I signed up. I signed up, and I'm in. And it's a weird thing in your head of just wanting to be the one who's into this thing, but you don't want too many people to be into that thing. Does it make any sort of sense?
Absolutely.
To you guys? Are insane?
It makes tons of sense to me. I always like it happens with bands a lot, I guess. But you know, like you're into something, and they're so good, the band that you want. A perfect example:
Kitty in the Tree.
Even better example.
Okay.
But you know, not so much them. They're not a band anymore. The Beatles.
Okay. Too many people like them.
Who are they?
No, but like a good example is the band Love, who I know I repeatedly discuss them on this show all the time. The only reason they weren't that popular when they were active in the 60s, the only reason I knew of them personally is my mother back then was a big fan of them, so she had their records. So a lot of people didn't know that band. So I kind of, but they're so good. I would tell people all the time, you really got to listen to this band. They would listen to them and be like, wow, they're really good. Then slowly they started becoming this cult thing in the last 10 years. They became so popular.
They're the cult?
Like Fire Woman?
Yes, exactly. And now it kind of annoys me. You know, like that dude next to Vanessa in the theater would be like Arthur Lee.
See, and it's weird that you say that because whenever I think of Love, I think of that song, Something Again.
Flashdance?
Something Again. Alone Again.
Alone Again Or. Yes.
Alone Again Or. And when I think of Alone Again Or, I always think of Bottle Rocket, the movie Bottle Rocket, and the same type of thing. I mean, the way that I'm looking at this, to me, the whole idea of the thing that you want for yourself but you want people to know about but then you get mad that they know about, it goes from songs to movies to TV to music. I mean, it goes to anything. And movies, like Bottle Rocket is my prime example. Like, that's my movie. That's mine.
You can't have it.
I know I can't have it. And the thing now, it's starting to pick up more steam. Now, 10 years after the fact, it's finally starting to pick up steam that people mention it when they're talking about the greatest films ever, greatest comedies ever, at the very least. And it's not just me where it has been. And it aggravates me that so many people are into it, whereas for years, it's like, wait, this was mine. This was mine. I was the one who was talking about, you look like a little banana, and no one else did. You know? I don't know.
I just have to throw out, even though I typed it in the room, Jay Carter pointing out The Damned did an awesome cover of that song. I will go on record as saying The Damned covering Alone Again Or is the greatest cover song ever.
That's actually the version that is in Bottle Rocket. It's The Damned,
no,
isn't
it's
it?
Love.
Is it really?
It sounds exactly the same, but it's just, I like it better. I like The Damned version better. It's really a great cover version. It's definitely Love in the movie.
Because
there's three or four Love songs in the movie.
I don't like you.
What I don't get about the whole conversation is why, if you like this specific band, movie, TV show, if you like it that much, why not make it more popular? And why not have it all the time? Why not have it out there?
That is the conundrum here.
Because
I want more people to know, but then when too many know, I get mad.
I can explain it. You get annoyed because you want to be the person that knows about something that's cool. And you know what? It's horrible, but that's just the way it is. Like, you want to be cool.
I want to be cool. How old are you guys?
I know.
Grow up. It's not cool. It's just mine. It's mine. It belongs to me.
Because it's like, wait, this person heard this. Like, if I see somebody that heard the Smiths like 2 years ago for the first time, they annoy me. It's like, where were you like in 1988?
By the way, I'm totally scared. Ustreamer 50781 is pointing out that he enjoys our segments, or he or she enjoys our segments and our show online. I hope that Ustreamer 50781 will spread it. No, let people know. Don't keep it to yourself. We don't want to be the secret.
That's an oxymoron right there, Keith. What do you mean?
My name's Chris. It's okay, though.
But if this person didn't spread it, if they kept it to themselves and didn't want people to know about it, and then it would become uncool, we'd be nowhere.
Yeah, well, we are nowhere. We are nowhere, so it's okay.
We'd still be
nowhere. We're not looking to be the best secret in the world. We don't want to be the best-kept secret on the internet. We're looking to be publicized. I'll be honest with you, though. I'm going to guess that Wes Anderson wanted to be known. Crap.
And that's the thing, is that it's you want...
Jake Carter points out, he tells everyone we stopped doing the show.
you
missed it.
we're all kind of like we all think we're special. We want to be the special
Hipsters.
Person. We all want to. We think like we know a little
you
better than
wrong.
Most people.
I don't think I'm special.
So you get like a thing that you know that no one else has or knows about or anything, and it's special for a little while until everyone knows about it, and then you're not special.
It's mine. Yeah. It's really just a. It's.
But it could be yours on a bigger scale. It could be on TV every week. You know what I mean?
But that's not his anymore.
Okay,
it's still yours.
Can I just say that there was a new podcast on one of the Pal Talk rooms this week, and I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's featuring some Pal Talk regulars, and they played the Flobots on their show. And I was like, what the hell? Flobots are mine, dude. Well, why are you playing the Flobots? That's not cool for you to do that. Oh, like, and this is
you could have them.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly. I can.
But now they're not yours anymore because they're playing on MTV every 5 minutes?
Are they playing on MTV?
Yeah, of course they are. That's where I first heard
I
them.
I thought they were on MTV 3
or
at this
2.
Point.
No, it's 2.
Seven. MTV 7. Yeah, I just don't. Like I said, it's just when it comes to the little things like that, I just want to have them. What do you got?
I think our buddy Bricks pointed it out perfectly. We want people to learn about it and like it, not to make fun of it for years and denounce it, and then when it becomes popular, become the biggest fan. That's a good point.
All right.
I don't know. I understand that aspect of it. I don't think that's where I'm at. I think I'm at. I just want it to be mine.
So you have issues.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's special.
And I'm only third craziest on the show, and I have issues.
You know what? You know what can be yours?
What's that?
Have you seen those movies that are out, Meet the Spartans and Epic Movie and all of those?
Meet the Spartans?
These are coming from the same...
Scary Movie type of thing?
These are coming from this...
From what?
From the same producers. It's like, well, the Scary Movies were actually kind of funny and not another teen movie. Uh-huh. And then this couple of producers started putting out these same thing spoof movies.
Hold that thought, man.
I will.
Hold that crazy, crazy thought here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Joining us on the hottest of all lines, who's this?
This is Brick Savalon calling in.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I have to call in because my mom was just visiting me out here, and we had this same conversation about wanting things to be ours or wanting things not to become popular. Her big statement to me, and it always is that, oh, instead of you playing that crazy punk rock music and screaming all your great lyrics, you should have been in coffee shops reading it as poetry so more people could have liked it and you could have affected more people.
See, I think that you're going to affect more people with a popular band more than you're going to in a coffee house doing spoken word.
But when your popular band continues and wanted to stay underground without wanting to get big at all or play big shows, then people don't understand that. People are saying, why do you want to play in a band and not get big? What's the point then? You know, and I think Chris, you do want to share your things with other people. You don't want it to be yours. Like professional wrestling, when you find someone that loves wrestling as much as you do, then you want to talk wrestling with them all day long. It's just that when you find someone who was saying, oh, wrestling is stupid, it's a soap opera for men, I hate wrestling, and then now, like 10 years after that, they all of a sudden are wearing a wrestling WWF t-shirt around town.
It's not even,
because it's cool.
It's not even just that. It's the dude that I work with that doesn't necessarily like wrestling, that he has a catchphrase that he throws out, the, oh, dude, I smell what The Rock is cooking, you want a pile driver? That guy makes me mad, I think, more. It's like a...
Exactly. And so it's the same thing with bands. A lot of us, you know, growing up in New York, we were able to go see bands that were playing small shows, and we loved it. And all the people that were there had to make an effort to find out when that band was playing, where they were playing, and figure out how to get to that show and scrounge up enough money to get to that show. And then 10 years later, the people that didn't want to come to those shows with us or didn't want to see that band because they didn't like the music, now that the band is on MTV, now that's their favorite band in the world.
I'm feeling it, and I understand what you're saying. I'm telling you, I think it's more than that. I think it's a possessive and totally juvenile, mind you, as I'm saying this. But I think it's totally a juvenile possessive thing. It's like it's not. I'm not so much mad about the dudes that didn't like it now do like it. I'm mad that more people like it. I want everyone in the world to love this band until they do love this band. Then say, wait, now it's not mine anymore. It's a selfish, possessive thing that I'm thinking it is. And maybe it could be me, and maybe I don't know. I might be crazy.
Are you the type of guy to like throw it into people's faces? Like, oh, I found that first. Like, I remember when,
dude,
I found that.
Dude, I'm just going to say I do have the Rage Against the Machine demo tape, and they sucked then just as bad as they do now. But I own it. I've known about them forever. I don't know. Like I said, it's selfish. It's childish. It's the possessive thing.
Yeah, I just saw this dude the other day that got a Suffering Silence tattoo on his right shoulder.
I actually saw Malcolm's Lost perform that song back in 93, so...
Bricks, are you the same way?
I don't know who that is. I just like the tattoo.
You're going to get one now, right?
Yeah, I don't know who Malcolm's Lost is. I just like the tattoo. I
love that show.
Bricks, are you the same way if you find a new band that you think people should be into? Do you tell them or do you keep it for yourself?
Well, I'll tell people, you know, but you got to. I think I might be selective about who I tell. You know,
It's the same thing though. You're only slightly less possessive. You're sharing it with people that you think are worthy of sharing with.
Oh yeah, I'm an egotist, and I like to choose people who I think are worthy of sharing. That's totally 100% true. I'm not going to walk into the mall and hand out the best 7-inch I just heard, the best piece of music I just heard to anybody walking by.
Or best in show flyers. We're not going to do that. We got to keep it secret. Keep it undercover.
Yeah. And you know, you guys, when you guys get on a radio show, you're going to suck.
That's true. Dude, I knew them back when they couldn't even produce things right, and they didn't even know what they were doing.
Well, if we're going to suck when we get another radio job, at least nothing will have changed.
Yeah, it hasn't changed yet. By the way,
I used to listen to best show when I could type stuff to them, and they would type back to me while they were on the air. Now they're too busy.
By the way, the battle is raging on in the Hear Us Talk room. Well, not the battle, the discussion of what is shrimpin', as the discussion of how cool shrimpin' is in there. And I just
shrimping. What the hell is that?
We're going to leave it alone and let it sit. Go to Urban Dictionary later and learn about what shrimpin' is.
My computer that's
it's
like
really sexy and grotesque.
That's like the best in show og happening in the chat room right now.
It's fantastic. People should always be a part of it and be just be here for
it. Is shrimping too cool for people not to know what it is?
I will not let people know about it because shrimping is mine. I own that. I own shrimping.
You know what though, Bricks?
I don't do it though.
I think I don't know. I don't know that in coffee houses he necessarily would have touched more people. You know, I know a lot of dudes back in the days when he was in bands, friends of mine that didn't know him, that were really, really like, I don't want to sound gay, but touched by the lyrics of a band that he was in, you know? So I don't know that was a...
Well, that's a matter of perception, though. We're talking about Brix's mom's perception of what she thinks would have been.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Better,
I didn't know it was his mom. She's right.
Yeah, that's what she thought was a more appropriate or more popular, a more viable format for him to put it out there. But the fact of the matter is, being in a popular hardcore band, being in a popular grindcore band, whatever, is probably you're going to get a bigger audience than you're going to trying to do like spoken word, yeah. It's just not going to happen.
My biggest problem with him is that my fallacy shirt doesn't fit me anymore because I'm fat now.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Send it Brian, back. Send it back.
I want a refund.
Bricks, why didn't you make these shirts expandable for when I grow?
Could you imagine?
They were pre-shrunk cotton, you know, before the days of environmental stuff. You know, we couldn't get the good cotton. We had to get slave labor cotton.
Honestly, why wouldn't you just like nice rayon shirts? Just a nice flowing rayon, unbuttoned, like a button that you could leave open. Nice, look good.
So my thought is that if you're playing, my mom would say, you know, she wasn't about saying playing in a coffee shop to 10 people. She was about get it as big as you can and speak it where people can understand and not all we weren't so angry. But my thought is always that I would rather have, you know, 100 people really get the music that I was playing and share that forever and not have anybody know about it than have, you know, 10,000 people walking around with my shirt on, but then, you know, they don't give a shit about what I was saying.
Understood.
Rage Against the Machine.
I mean, I'm hearing you. I understand what you're saying. It's, I guess maybe.
And if you had a million people who loved what you loved the way you loved it, you wouldn't care how many people it was. It's about the essence and the purity of the understanding of what's going on, rather than just like, oh, this is popular, I'm just going to wear this shirt, or oh, I'm just listening to this now.
You know what? I think you got me. I think you turned me. I think it might have to do with the fact of understanding and not necessarily compromising the integrity of the art.
I think you got me.
I'm going to do a spoken reading of one of Brix's songs right now. Like, imagine if I was in a coffee shop. I am what I am. You can never divide me from myself.
I understand. Oh, nice. Wait, is the Beatnik version of it?
It's in a coffee shop, dude.
Oh, sorry. I forgot. Hey, I'm telling you. If you're... I'm not even going to get into it. I'm just not even going to get into it. What?
So you agree. You agree.
I wish it was back in 1982 where I wanted a Monte Carlo with my favorite song written on the back and I could wear my sweatpants pulled up to my knees. Life would be much easier. I'd just have a hot-looking girlfriend and an easy job and life would be so much easier than all this philosophical talk we're going through.
Maron, seriously, Mo. Diamond Girl would be pumping on your speakers. It'd be mint.
I would get curb feelers and I would have the lights on the back that lit up when I pressed the brakes.
Oh, my awesome. God. Ground effects and curb feelers. I'm all about it.
Yeah. All right, guys, later on.
Bricks Avalon, our buddy. Thank God for him. Thank God for him.
Could have never imagined him in a coffee shop.
I wish. What are you talking about? I think I saw him drink coffee once. He loves coffee. Yeah. Good guy. Very, very good dude.
So stop keeping stuff from yourself, Chris. Let it go.
Yeah, you know what? Looking at it from an artist's perspective, as I do air quotes for nobody.
What, because you've never painted?
I think that, honestly, I want everyone to tell everyone else about Best in Show. How about this?
Except for the people that you work with.
Except for yourself.
Dude, you know what, man? you want to get into it?
But you do realize the hypocritical bit there, right? Which, by the way, I just want to say really quickly, as I'll give Keith 30 seconds to put together his argument to defend himself while I go to the bathroom to pee, but I just want to point out Dr. Horrible, awesome. Neil Patrick Harris, awesome. And the girl who stars in it is named Felicia Day. And Felicia Day is from a video blog or webisode, as they're now being called, of something called The Guild. Which The Guild is actually a Warcraft-based sitcom.
Jeez.
That is, yeah, you know, you're saying Jesus? Watch 3 episodes of it. Being whether you're a Warcraft fan or not, it's goddamn funny.
She's cute too.
Because it's making fun of geeks that play Warcraft. All right. It is effing hilarious. That's where I know this girl from in the first place. And actually, the guy who plays Captain Hammer, Mr. Hammer, like the superhero who's the arch nemesis of Dr. Horrible, is the guy from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. I don't remember his name. But another show that I keep under wraps. I don't let people know I like
Ryan
it.
Something?
Yeah, Gosling.
Is it
Sandberg, actually.
Is Hope?
Is that Warcraft thing, is it a video blog?
It is a webisode, otherwise known as a video blog. Yes, it has 10...
What's that mean?
What's up?
It's David Bowie, but and you can look at me all you want, but it's not coming from me.
Okay.
Who has it on their iPod?
Yeah, it's outrageous. I'm telling you, it's like a video game TV show. A video game... TV show.
And what is it on? Just the internet? On the interwebs?
Yeah, you get it through like YouTube, any of the video spots, like Video, Yahoo Video, Google Video, all that stuff. The Guild, I'm telling you. And it's dumb. It's dumb, but it's funny. It's something that I want to keep to myself, but I want more people to know about it.
Is it recorded off of the World of Warcraft? Is it like you're in-game or something? All right, so that's...
Sorry, I have to go potty. But no, it's actually, it's live video of people. No, you never actually see game video. Okay. It's people. It's actually people. It's fantastic.
Because someone did that kind of thing with the Halo world, and they have this thing called Red versus Blue. And they just kind of, they animated the like blue character and the red character to walk around and inside the Halo world. And then they talk over it, and they do some really pretty freaking funny dialogue over it. That became wildly popular.
Those are the kinds of things I never watch, even though I might think they're funny when I actually see them. But like when somebody sends me a video or like a YouTube or something, I'm just like, yeah, I know. I'm not going to watch it, though.
It started like that. People were passing it around. And then like these guys just, I guess, made a website out of it or something. And they do regular episodes. And now I think there's a TV show now. Or so it's just gotten ridiculously popular. Red versus Blue. Welcome to 2001.
Yeah, well, you did say Halo, right? Well, I only started playing Halo like last year, so I guess it's not so bad. I want to talk about Spartans for a second.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. So, anyway, what I was saying earlier was that there was this, you know, there was like the Not Another Teen Movie was kind of funny. The scary movies, I mean, look, they're silly, they're stupid, but they're kind of funny. All of a sudden, this team of producers came out with these movies, and they're these typical spoof movies, and the newest one, which was out already, is called Meet the Spartans. There was one called Date Movie. Now, having been a fan of like Scary Movie and things like that, I said, all right, I'll watch this. You cannot even believe how incredibly bad these movies are. Now, I thought I was the only one. I thought maybe... Now, keep in mind, I also don't know... I didn't know if the Wayans brothers, the guys that did the Scary Movies, were the same ones producing these, and maybe these just weren't as funny. I found out that these producers started making these movies, rushing them out. I believe 20th Century Fox is putting them out. Rushing them out, and they're incredibly terrible. And the way I figured this out is there was a comedy troupe that was friends with us on MySpace. And you know what? I would like to actually have them in the future talk about this. These guys circulated a petition to 20th Century Fox saying, please stop these two producers from making these movies because this is apparently a genre they're considering, you know.
Who's the comedy troupe?
It's something called Super Donkey Kong something or other. I'm not sure. Not sure who they are. They're not from New York. But these. So I the other day I see after I watch Cloverfield, the movie snaps off. It goes to the on demand pay per view ads.
Mo, I'm snapping off.
That's what the monster said as he fell in the water. But the
Michael Caine.
So the ads come on and there's an ad for Meet the Spartans, and they show about maybe five scenes that are supposed to be, you know, really funny because you're going to want people to watch the movie. You're going to show the funniest stuff. I've honestly never seen anything worse. One scene is a Rambo character comes up behind a Britney Spears character and says, have you seen the latest Rambo movie? And her response to him is, have you seen a shower? Laughs. I was lolling all over the place.
They're bad. I've watched a couple of those. But I think I watched the Date Movie, mm-hmm. which is I think the one that spoofs largely the
romance comedies and stuff.
But it was the Tom Cruise Alien movie was part of that spoof as well, if I recall. There was they take current movies. And they sort of like latch them together.
And they take the big mistake though that they do is they take pop culture references. Like there's a scene of Britney Spears hanging her baby and shaving the baby's head.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like
Michael Jackson's noseless face makes a common appearance in all these movies.
It makes me mad because like I think that comedy. I think there should be a comedy. Filter
from comedy should be funny. It should be funny and not cheap and stupid.
I think people should laugh at comedy.
Why?
But the scary thing is, are people laughing at these movies? Like, if Vanessa was in that theater, would that guy be going, ha ha, Britney Spears, and laughing his ass off at it? Or
I think it's just a wildly popular genre among teenagers. So, like, if you're going to high school, you're going to go see that movie so you can.
And they have to get them out fast because in a year from now, it'll be, you know. hearsay. You have to get them in while those movies are popular, so people know the jokes. Do you know what I mean? If they brought that movie out now and Britney Spears had her head shaved.
But do you think it's honestly a need to get that joke out there, or is it a need to get a paycheck?
Oh, both. Both. A little bit of both. Definitely. And that outrageousness even like dribbles over into commercials nowadays. I watch commercials, and I see the do not attempt disclaimer on all these commercials. Like the most outrageous thing. I saw a telephone commercial where a girl takes a chainsaw to a telephone pole and watches as a whole row of telephone poles fall down, and it says do not attempt on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Like somebody's going to try that. Where did we come to that? How did we
come
to
this? I was actually
just
going to start firing up my chainsaw underneath the table. I was running outside to do it.
I mean, how do we come to this? Like, do not attempt things on.
But what is do not? What is that an homage to? Like Jackass, I guess. Like what is the thing behind it?
They just don't want to get sued for. In the news today, a group of kids went out and chopped down some fire poles and said they were inspired by this stupid car commercial.
Exactly. Or sorry, I saw a Subway commercial where they have like a $5 footlong Subway.
Please take the five.
Yeah, and a girl.
Please take the. Oh, not that kind of Subway. No. I got confused.
And a girl eats a $5 bill, and on the bottom of the TV screen it says, "Do not attempt eating the $5 bill." Like somebody would do that. Who would eat a $5 bill? It's just so stupid. So it's ridiculous.
Stupidly delicious.
I think we've came to this because of the guy that spilled coffee on himself at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then they started putting hot...
This is hot.
Yes, caution, this is hot. Like coffee wouldn't be hot. I think the guy actually won $1 million from McDonald's.
I think it was a woman, some housewife in the drive-thru or something like that, and she got actual burns. Like it spilled on her leg or something, and she got like third-degree blistered burns or something. And yeah, sued McDonald's.
But anyone would get third-degree burns if they spilled coffee on themselves.
Right.
It was crotch burns. Because she had the coffee between her legs, and she was driving, and that's how it spilled on her. But I mean, come on. You know what? You don't load a gun and stick it up there either.
Exactly.
I
don't
know. Oh, well, I do.
You do?
I do, but that's just because I find it sexy.
Well, I'm glad they were able to put caution, this is hot on that. That'll stop that from happening in the future. That's what pisses me off, is that these little do not attempt things, that's not going to stop the guy. The person who's going to fire up the chainsaw and cut down the telephone pole is not going to be stopped by the do not attempt sign at the bottom of the commercial. You know what I mean?
I'll say never hear a guy, oh, don't attempt it. I didn't realize I was supposed to do it. Oh, there you go.
The person that's going to douse their crotch with hot coffee is not going to stop when they see caution. This is hot. They're just going to do it.
What was the Beavis and Butthead thing that somebody did? Reenacted burning something down?
They listened to Push the Little Daisies by Ween over and over again, which to me was the greatest thing. That's the greatest moment in the history of Beavis and Butthead. Yeah, I gotta be honest. I have no idea. I didn't know that there was a Beavis and Butthead. Who would try and do something that a cartoon did? It's not even like what a person did. I would never even hear that.
Remember that day that I dropped an anvil on your head? You got pretty mad because you didn't have an umbrella on you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's disappointing for the umbrella that it couldn't be involved. I want to take it back if I can, if you guys don't mind. I lied earlier in the show.
Ooh.
It was my lie of the week. When I said that everything is good at home and everything is terrible just at work.
Did you lie or is there a new development? Because you left the room a couple times.
Both.
Can you talk about it?
No.
Will you talk about it?
Yes.
Okay.
Luckily, I don't want to make this any heavier than it needs to be, but luckily my 4-year-old doesn't listen to the show. Because she knows that there's sometimes cuss words, so she doesn't check it out. So she, as long as my daughter doesn't know about it, she doesn't need to know that yesterday afternoon I had to go to the pet store and get a third blackfish to replace Willacasa. So now we're up to Willacasa the third. The fish is now... it's just a sad world that we're living in.
What do you will a case of fish do you better?
Wait, what? Oh, I get it. Like a case.
do you think there's something wrong with how you're handling the fish? Why? What's going on with the fish? Why
I
are they
threw
dying?
One at a movie screen because it was talking too loud. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think the place that I purchased this Willacasa from, because it's I have two fish. well, now five. But I had two fish, one orange one, one black one. The orange one is fine. Loves life, runs around, no problems, everything's terrific. The black fish we bought from a certain pet store that will go nameless, that is close to my house, that maybe isn't the most high-end store. And the first one died, and now the second one died. So now I went to a different pet store and got a hardier-looking fish of the same color, another blackfish. And we see what's going to happen with it.
Do you think just telling her about death would be easier than picking up these fish?
She can't understand that sometimes if I change the channel while she's watching a show, that the TiVo doesn't keep rewinding after that. So I think explaining the end of life might be a hard thing to... Well, you know, neither does my mother, though. She doesn't understand the concept of DVRing. So I don't know. Maybe she could grasp it.
Well, at what age are you going to tell this?
26. At 26, we'll tell her, by the way, you've had 680 fish. You've had 680 fish. By the way, pleased to meet your husband.
Tell her about death, and you don't have to run out and get
four?
These fish. Yeah, it's
four.
Fine. Four is fine.
No, no, keep lying to her. No, definitely.
Four is fine.
Get her another black fish.
Do you have a plan on when you're going to tell her?
No, I'm hoping this fish will live forever. I'm hoping the new one we purchased lives at least 15 years. And then I hope one of her friends will tell her in the second grade. And everything will be fine.
I think that's a late time to learn about death.
Second grade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to know about death by the time you're in kindergarten.
Diapers?
Born?
About death?
Yeah, man. It's a big thing.
Once you're in public, you're going to, like Rob pointed out, you're going to hear kids talking about it. You know, like, it's...
And Chris, be honest. Do all the major conversations happen between your wife and your daughter, because it's a girl?
What major conversation? She's four.
Listen, is the like sex the talk? Is the sex talk
wait,
gonna
no,
be?
Hold on, hold on, Layla, come here. I need you to understand the concept of metaphysics. Like, I mean, what heavy conversations are you having with a 4-year old?
Sex, death,
four.
Sex,
like not at four, but I'm saying when she gets a little bit older, all those conversations going to happen between your wife and her. Are you going to give her the sex talk, or is your wife going to give her the sex talk?
Of course
talk?
My wife is. She's the same parts as her.
Exactly. You know what? Does all the other major conversations happen between your wife and your daughter? Are you going to teach her about death, or is your wife?
I don't know. That's a rough one. That's a rough
of
one.
Of course it's a rough one.
Because the problem is we're also... We've made the decision to bring my daughter up with a lie that an afterlife exists.
That's
and,
what
and I can't propagate that lie. Right. I will just sit by and let my wife do it.
That's where I wanted to go with this, and I was going to ask you if it's something you don't want to talk about, but I guess the fact that you brought it up. If your daughter becomes very religious,
mm-hmm.
Okay, if your daughter becomes...
I'll make fun of her. Behind her back, though.
Early teens, very religious, and tells you, you know... Papa, this is the way things are. This is the way things are. Are you going to get into it with her? Are you going to just say, hey, everyone has their own opinion and that's fine? Are you going to lie to her and say, I agree with you, sweetie? Or are you going to say, you're stupid? Why do you believe that? Haven't you heard Best in Show?
How old is she?
12. If okay, you know what? I have a better one, and I'm sorry, because this is probably going to be incredibly hard for you. If she's 7 years old...
By the way, being pointed out by Bricks in the chat room, the question, your daughter doesn't have a penis? No, she actually doesn't. She doesn't. Surprising.
Okay, if she says to you at 7 years old, Daddy, is there really a God and a heaven?
Oh, man. My own.
Talk to your mother.
Honey, it's really, really hard for Daddy to tell you 100% what is and what isn't, other than what we have here in front of us. I know that you know, you've learned a lot of things in school that have made you you know, that give you a false sense of security.
See, that's it. If you see that she actually is sort of taking the bait of religion and starts actually thinking about it, do you stop spouting that kind of stuff? Do you stop saying that thing? I mean, it's already something I have to deal with. I'm dating a believer. I live with one, and I talk that crap all the time.
Is that like a leper, the way you said it?
Kind of, yeah.
It's messed up because my wife isn't even a believer, but she thinks it's the best way to bring up a child.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is just so Why? Why do we want to lie to them? Why, so we can make them pessimists? So they could believe... So we could tell them one thing for a long time and then say, oh, by the way, psych. Because I'm not a believer. My wife's not a believer.
So when it starts to get to the point where she's has to be learning about that, do you just stop saying that stuff around her?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what that answer is. I don't know what that answer is. Maybe our buddy Bricks, thank God. I explained, honey, God is in heaven. His name is Bruno Sammartino, and is the son of Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Maybe that's the angle I go with. Okay. Honestly, this Heroes Talk chat room may be the greatest thing in the world. And if people are not in it, you should honestly get something bad happen to you.
As Rob points out, what about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny? Where are you going to go with those things? That's probably started already, right? Maybe Santa Claus?
Of course. But, I mean, he hasn't been here. But no, yeah,
he hasn't been here. Why, you get no...
No presents? No, we don't dress... Like, I don't dress up. Okay. Whereas I would be the easy fat man to put the costume on.
When the daddy of the house is a douchebag, Santa doesn't visit.
Wow. Wow.
He's got a point. He's got a point. You can't disagree with reason, you know. But we do the Christmas presents and we wrap certain presents from mommy and daddy.
The tooth fairy come yet? The tooth fairy come?
No, she's four.
She's four. I don't know when they start losing teeth. I don't know.
26, I think. Same age. Or when daddy's mad. If daddy has too much to drink. What? No, when Christmas comes, we wrap presents for mommy and daddy, and then we leave like a third of the presents unwrapped, and those are the ones that Santa Claus brought.
Okay.
Because Santa couldn't afford the wrapping paper, I guess.
When, it's tough.
When will you get rid of this facade?
He only works once a year, you know.
I mean, you're asking me as if I know. I don't know.
It's kind of the same thing. You are saying that this person exists just to set him up for failure, like you'll do with God. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but one is a little bit more serious.
Yeah, Santa is of course more serious than God.
That's the guy that brings me gifts. Exactly. But no, but I mean, like, but one is the reason for all existence, supposedly.
Yeah.
And the other one is the guy who gives you stuff. Hey, you're still going to get the same stuff. It's just, you know what? He's not a big fat. Well, he is a big fat dude, but he doesn't have a white. Well, he doesn't wear red. He doesn't wear red. He has a white beard. And he's
definitely not a communist God. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I don't. I'm a first-time dad.
I know.
I don't know what the answer
is. Would you rather have the sex talk with your daughter or the God talk with your daughter?
God.
Definitely. Really? God talk. Whoa.
Because I think...
You think what?
I think I'm more informed. I think I'm better suited to have that conversation. Or I'm less misinformed. Than my wife is. Because I think a shred of my wife's being, she still wants to believe.
Uh-huh. In sex?
Yes.
She wants to believe that sex does exist somewhere out there.
That she'll meet someone that does it good one day.
I hear that underneath those rolls there actually should be a penis. I believe in it. I believe in it. I just haven't seen it. But, yeah, I think that God-wise, I think I'm better suited to be reasonable and logical about it without being awful. Mm-hmm. Which obviously would be my instinct, but I think I'm better suited to actually have a more less emotional conversation and a more rational conversation about it than my wife.
And if you had a boy, would that be the same thing? Would you rather have the sex talk with the boy or the God talk with the boy?
No, I'd take both.
You would take.
I'll take both, of course. Well, it's a girl's job to talk to the woman. A woman's job to talk to the girl about sex, and it's a man's job to talk to the boy about sex.
You know what? Bricks Avalon, a great point. Jesus was great for him for a long time when he used to hear him preach, but now everyone's into him, and it pisses him off.
It's true. It's very true. That thing got way too popular. It got entirely too popular.
Oh, man. So you thinking about having another one, Chris?
No.
Come on.
It would involve it would involve sex. So it's not going to happen.
And he doesn't believe in sex.
By the way, I've changed my opinion. And it'll never happen because my wife will never have kids. But I am not as against it as I was when we last discussed it.
What the hell made you turn?
I don't know. it's, I don't know. I wish I had a reason. I wish I could say, well, this and this happened. And I don't, and again, it's a moot point because my wife will never change her mind on this. And it's not like this is something that's going to bother me, you know, like, but I, you know, I don't, and I guess going back to, what I used to say is I don't care either way. So that's probably not going to be, you know, a good reason to have one.
That's a sign of a good father. That's a good father in the making. I don't really care either way.
Exactly.
I don't hate it so
and
much.
And I still kind of feel
it's
like
it's not like cancer.
I think you're making a mistake. I think you should rethink that.
But there has to be some little thing that you did, that you saw, a kid that you seen, somebody playing with their kid that made you think like, hey, kids aren't that all that bad, Keith. There had to be something that made you think that.
I think I kind of...
Yeah, there's something really great about kids, as Vanessa points out in the chat room. Hers is going to art school this year for college, $37,000 a year. Yeah, kids are great.
Because my main reason against it is financial.
I'll pay for that. I'll pay for that, just like I'll pay for this phone call. Here on Hear Us Talk, best in show on the hottest of all lines. Who's this?
This is Bruce Leo.
I'm sorry, it's who? Oh, Bruce Leo. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, sir. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm good.
What's?
I'm good. I'm good. I was calling in to see if you were going to talk to UFC today.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Solo versus Irvin.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I will go to that in a moment. I feel as though we're derailing our kid talk, but you know what? Kids will be here all day long. I'll be honest with you. I was fairly disappointed with all of the mixed martial arts action that I saw last night. I thought that spoiler alert, I think Anderson Silva is obviously showed himself to be just unbelievably
unbeatable.
So much better than anybody else on the planet right now in the way that he busts out.
He can't
right
be stopped. No matter what weight division he's in, he can't be stopped.
Well, I will say that, I mean, they put him against James Irvin. And James Irvin is not, like, he's not the premier light heavyweight. You put him in there with, like, a Chuck Liddell, or you put him in there with a Rampage Jackson, poor sad bastard who's having all sorts of issues this week. I don't know that he has the same success that he did against Irvin, but his punching, he is such, not to be like a hack that buys into whatever they say, but the pinpoint accuracy of this dude's punching is unreal. He's outrageous. I think it was like.
I think they put him in with Irvin just because Irvin has that one knockout chance. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's what Irvin is. Irvin swings for the fences and he goes for it, and that's you know, and it's an exciting. He's an exciting swinger and things like that. But Anderson Silva is just too good. He's just too good at this point. He's an unbelievably like I'm telling you, it's and I keep feeling like I'm the hack that's buying into it, because like when he comes to the ring, they tell you what their strengths and weaknesses are, and his strength is pinpoint accuracy with his punching. But it really is like the fact that he grabbed the dude's leg and blasted him right in the center of his face and just put him down in a second, despite not being an overbearingly strong guy. Really, really great.
So he's undefeated.
No, he looks like.
It's not just his punching, though. It's everything. His knees, his kicks, everything.
He's a nasty dude. I don't see anyone taking him. I don't see anyone. I don't think he's a 205er. I don't think he's a light heavyweight. I think he's a middleweight guy. I don't see him staying at 205, because if he stays at 205, I don't think he has a chance against a guy like Wanderlei Silva or a Rashad Evans, I think would give him a hard time. There's too many guys at 205 that I don't think would have a chance with him. But good stuff. I guess the biggest thing, even more important than the UFC last night, is the fact of Affliction. The Affliction pay-per-view happened last night, and again, spoiler alert: Fedor Emelianenko, which I can't pronounce his name properly, but Fedor demolished Tim Sylvia in 37
really?
Seconds. 37 seconds. The guy is the greatest. This is a former UFC champion that got embarrassed. Fedor is the greatest fighter in the world. And one day, someone will go deep into their stupid pockets and they will pay Fedor enough. And by someone, I mean Dana White, will pay Fedor enough to bring him to the UFC. So we can see the greatest fighter, because as we are right now, the greatest fighter in the world is not fighting in the greatest federation in the world, and it's disappointing. Although Randy Couture did come out to the ring, and Randy and Fedor both said, hey, let's fight. Unfortunately, Randy is under contract to UFC, and we have to figure out how that's going to work out. It was a good night of fighting. I suggest everybody check out all the stuff out. Go to K-Fight, kfight.net. If you missed anything, and go look at all of the fights from last night, from the Affliction card, from the UFC card. It was exciting, amazing stuff, and I hope everyone enjoys it.
Sports.
Bruce Leo, thanks, buddy. Thanks for taking us to a sexy fight in place.
All right, guys, keep it up.
Word up. He was saying word to himself and saying, oh, yeah, word.
Sports.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Something about God or something? So if I told my daughter not to believe in peanut butter and jelly, and I only give her bologna sandwiches.
How dare you?
But by bologna, I mean liverwurst.
Peanut butter and jelly is God. Peanut butter and jelly is my God. I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
My daughter probably eats 6 to 7 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches a week. She loves them.
Nice.
Obsessed with them.
What is it between peanut butter and jelly? I like it.
It's the salty sweet with the sweetie sweet.
Is that it? It is candy. It's like candy for any meal that you want. It just tastes delicious.
It has to be a great jelly. I only like strawberry jelly.
I agree.
I despise grape jelly.
I agree.
Despise it.
I also do dislike the grape jelly. I have it with Campbell's vegetable soup, and I dip it into the soup.
Oh,
it's so good.
That is the grossest thing I've
ever
heard.
Delicious.
You dip your peanut butter jelly sandwich into your tomato soup?
Not tomato, vegetable. And it turns like an orange kind of color on the end of it. It looks, I guess if you're not used to it, it would look a little gross, but it's delicious.
I've got a little bit of heartburn right now, so I'm thinking maybe that's influencing my feeling. But I want to throw up on the table at the prospect of peanut butter and jelly dipped in vegetable soup.
Plus, Brian puts butter on the sandwich, right? Oh, yeah. I do peanut butter and jelly, and I put butter on both sides. Both sides. And then I put the peanut butter, and then I put the jelly.
This grots.
It's so good.
It's
like ketchup and mayonnaise. You're not going to like it until you try it. Was that a shot at me?
Wait, I don't understand. It's like ketchup and mayonnaise. Is that like a long is that a tenet of existence that no, don't mix the ketchup with the mayonnaise? Because I never heard it.
Kind of. People get grossed out when I say I'll make an egg sandwich and I'll put mayonnaise and then like ketchup and some hot sauce, and people go, ketchup and mayonnaise, that's disgusting. Clearly, that person's never had it. It's so good.
Last night while I was watching the UFC. Sitting in my little computer room, I brought a dish in here with me. And in this dish, I had vegetarian chicken nuggets. I had a pile of Swiss cheese, a pile of mozzarella, a pile of American cheese, and some wheat crackers. And in the center of this dish, I had the biggest clump of mayonnaise that I was just dipping everything into as I was sitting here eating
That's
it.
That's great.
I don't know that I would go ketchup on that, especially with just cheeses, but ketchup and I wouldn't even put mayonnaise on eggs though.
Egg sandwich with mayonnaise and ketchup is it's good. It's a
friend Rick is pointing out in the Heroes Talk Room. Yuck! I don't know that I buy into it. I don't know. I think it's a delicious.
Yes, mayonnaise is gross. Thank you, Rick.
But what about mustard and ketchup together?
Sure, that's a delicious.
I like mustard
combination
and ketchup
as well.
Together. It's pretty good.
I'm not the anti sauce guy.
Okay.
I'll try anything, but my desired, my preferred condiment would be mayo on just about anything.
Not like Dijonnaise? Like that,
I'm not saying I won't eat it,
okay.
But it's not preferred. Preferred is mayo. Chicken sandwich, mayo. Hamburger, mayo. Not a hot dog. Although I'll try it, I guess.
In a hot dog, I put mustard and mayonnaise and sauerkraut. On a hamburger, I'll go mayo, ketchup, mustard, lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, and cheese.
Our buddy Spickles pointing out in the chat room, mayo is for fat people. Fatties dip things in mayo. Allow me to tell you, I'm tipping the scales at 275 pounds. So, hey, surprise, surprise. He's got a point.
I think I've lost weight, by the way.
You?
I think I lost some weight this week.
Keith?
F you, Fred. How's that? how many pounds? I don't know. What do I? My neck looks thinner. Thank you. When I went to the doctor about a month ago, I weighed 209, and then I was back up to 212. I would guarantee you that I'm 207 and not a pound higher right now.
Good for you,
and
man.
It's only up from here. Oh, it's only down from here.
You know
I
what that
so.
Is? Throat cancer. There you go. Yeah. See?
But wait, do you lose weight from cancer? I thought it was the chemo.
Of course you lose weight from cancer.
No. Cancer, the first thing cancer touches is your metabolism. It's the first thing it affects before
anything.
I keep
my metabolism well wrapped up that no one can touch it.
You get those Ziploc bags then to keep it in.
But by the way, I don't want to keep going back to this weirdness, but why does Brent saying that Heinz 57 sauce is just ketchup mixed with mustard? Is that true?
That's silly. That can't be true.
Heinz 57 sauce?
You monsters.
Also delicious. I've never heard that. I like it. I prefer A1, quite honestly.
But A1's a steak sauce. Yeah. That's not the same thing.
But I'll use A1 for all kinds of stuff. It's not just for steak.
I'm not suggesting it is. I'm just calling it steak sauce. Whereas Heinz 57, I don't consider a steak sauce. It's like a flavored ketchup.
Oh, yeah. I think people use it on their steak. They use it as steak sauce traditionally.
I think some people dip their steak in ketchup too, though.
Well, A1 is made for steak, though, right? It's steak sauce,
right?
Yeah, but it's not just for steak anymore. That's like their.
You could use it on hamburgers and stuff. I just don't.
Well,
like
what is chopped ham? I mean, what is a hamburger? Is it chopped ham? No, it's chopped steak. That's also part of their commercial.
Oh. Sorry.
What?
By the way, I watched Joey Chestnut on the 4th of July. I meant to bring it up. Beat Kobayashi.
Yeah.
He beat Kobayashi. It was a dog-off, as they called it.
Dude, that's like 3 weeks ago.
I missed it. I haven't seen it. I hear it was great. Tell me more. I want to know more details. What's a dog-off?
Well, they at the... When the allotted amount of time passed, which I think was 10 minutes, they were both tied at like maybe 58 or something. Jesus. So they gave them another tray of hot dogs, and the first one to finish, it was another five, and the first one to finish it won. And Joey Chestnut barely beat Kobayashi, and he was so about to vomit everywhere when it was over. It was the greatest thing.
Well, that's what happened with Kobayashi last year.
He vomited, like
I watched it, he vomited into his mouth, and that stopped him.
But no, Kobayashi last year suffered a throat injury, and he was an injured competitor. It's a little bit different.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Brick's pointing out in the chat room. In addition to my story, Keith, a new franchise called the Florida Marlins is entering baseball. Touché, my friend. Touché.
When are you allowed to throw up after the hot dog competition?
4.5 hours later.
Really?
Don't lie to me, Keith.
After the whistle's blown,
you're allowed to
puke. As long as there's a camera on, I think you're supposed to do it during.
They'd prefer it.
Yeah, it makes for good TV. Yeah,
I should join that.
No, I can't. You know what? I'm a marathon eater. I'm not a sprinter.
Slow but steady.
I'm not a sprint eater. I eat for the long haul. I'm not doing a feat of strength.
You eat for life.
Exactly. I'm here to make myself the fattest, most horrible human existence that could happen.
The most horrible.
I'm not here to be like some sort of like carny show saying like, hey, look at me. That's not what I'm going for. I just want to die on my own time from my awful, awful habits and addictions.
I don't know. You were piling on the pizza, one on top of the other. I think I remember like three slices at once, and like maybe five bites later, they were all gone. You were going for speed when we were competing.
Yeah, well, that was a speed competition. It's not to say that I can't compete. Well, you know what it is, man? Let's be honest. I am not a good competitive eater. You guys just suck at it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's not that I'm great at eating fast.
So for the baseball fans, you're the NL East leader of competitive eating, basically.
You know, exactly. Like, yeah, you guys are just terrible. It's like not to use an inappropriate term, but it's like the battle of the retards. Like, I win when it comes to that. Like, because you guys are just awful at what you do. But that said, I eat pizza.
All right.
What's up?
I teased something earlier. You left the room. I started talking about Meet the
Spartans. Na, 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 na,
it's never going to go to school again. I was being called out for not bringing my radio show up.
By the way, since you brought up the NL East, 1-0 Mets, top of the second.
Thank you, Jimmy. A very gracious Phillies fan, I will say.
Indeed. He's a good man. Jimmy Spickle is a fine man. You can interact with that little, I was going to say stupid, but that little sexy bastard as much as you want over at the Heroes Talk forum. Go to heroestalk.com/forum. We'll go to the Heroes Talk radio room all week long in Pal Talk, and you could actually touch and feel and smell Jimmy Spickle. and be involved with the magic that is Jimmy Spickle. I guess he didn't know that commercial was coming, because I didn't either.
So, all right, here's how it goes. I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again, because I repeatedly...
I don't like mayo.
I repeatedly catch grief for not bringing up my radio show to the people I work with. And, well, before I start, why do you think I should? Chris, I put this question on you.
I think that if your goal in life is to do radio professionally forever, it should be your goal to publicize everything about your life on that radio show and publicize your entire radio show in your life. You should try and do everything you can to push this to the limits and try and get as many people as possible to listen. I look in the chat room right now. Oh, wait, no, you left. But I looked in the chat room 10 minutes ago.
He was here.
And like, guys that I work with are here listening to the show. I want everyone to be listening to this nonsense in the black hole of radio that is Sunday mornings. I want everyone to be here for it. I'm sorry, I'm eating Tums at an alarming rate because my heartburn is raging out of control. I'm sorry.
I won't even get started on that. But here's my issue with it. Okay, number one, I'm not the guy who tells people, hey, listen to this.
Check out
my
band.
Let me rephrase. Exactly. I don't tell people I work with, check out my band. But I've been asked about my tattoo that I will show to the...
Mo, you like Cadillacs? You got a Cadillac logo on your arm.
I've diverted attention away from it when I've been asked because I don't want to tell people what it actually is. But
you've
there's
lied
a reason
about
for
it.
It.
You've lied about it.
No, I've diverted attention away. I've changed the subject. It's been obvious at times, by the way, but... Here's the thing.
It's like a white power symbol. You don't want to know anything about it. What are you diverted to? No. No, that's just like a woman-hating group I'm a part of. Just don't worry about it.
I think we're pretty honest on the show, right?
I throw children at movie screens, and it's like the gang logo.
That's what we wear on our track jackets. I think that we're pretty honest on this show, right?
No.
No, not you.
Okay, thank you.
I think we talk about our past. I think we've discussed, especially Chris, me, and you, we've discussed in detail the drug problems we've had in the past and the illicit drugs we've done.
Really? Problem?
Did I let the cat out of the bag? Sorry.
Problem or like, you know, I'm a person.
Sorry, the drug fun we've had in the past.
I'm a person and I've lived a life, just like everyone who's listening to us has, and we're...
Some people say problem, some people say hobby.
Okay. I wasn't bored. I don't want the people I work with, especially my bosses, knowing about my past. Brian, please.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. I also don't advertise this show with people that I work with for only that reason. The first part of what you said is what I have a problem with, because I'm not the kind of guy who is going to tell someone to go check out my band, but you have to do that. You have to say, go check out my band. You're okay in my book, I guess, to not tell the people that you work with because of your actual concerns. But if that first part of your conversation should not play a factor, it might be irritating for you to do it, but you have to be
that
guy.
That probably goes hand in hand with my entire lack of self-confidence.
Can I point out that Keith and I had an off-air conversation this week, a show meeting, about action items for publicizing the show. And the idea of assembling a best in show street team came about. And the idea was, hey, is that something we need to do? Like to just hand things out on the street? And as the conversation happened, I said to Keith, like, well...
Don't use my exact terminology for the record.
If I remembered it, I would. And the conversation was just like, wait, why do you need a street... His whole thing was like, oh, I want to put the street team together because, you know, I'm off in the middle of the week on a Thursday. I could actually go out and do stuff. And it's like, okay, why don't you just do it? Why don't you just do it on your own? Why do you need a street team about it? You can be the street team. Like, all right, there. You know what? Here it is. The Best in Show street team. Keith. You star in it, and you go with it. And Keith's whole thing is like, there's a hesitation. There's a lack of confidence, I guess, with doing it. Much like he's saying he doesn't want to be the dude publicizing his band. it's the same thing. Like he like to, even to people he doesn't know, like going to the Village, you know, going into downtown Manhattan and just handing out bumper stickers or flyers, yep, or something, or buttons, is something that that fear, like that he's afraid of, because he actually said, as the other guy said, "Well, I need someone to come with me." Like, yeah,
but that's how I feel. I cannot do it alone.
I too am afraid, and I too don't want to be that guy. But
unless you're a child,
but you just have to. I mean, that's what it is. Okay, it's valid that you have that fear, but get over it and do it.
A good friend comes over to you, a friend that you would actually tell them about a new band, tell them about a new movie, and you know, you think they'd be excited. They ask, hey, they say, "Hey, you're in Best in Show Radio, Brian. Tell me a little something about that." What do you tell them? What's the first thing you tell them about the radio show? If you have a friend who's interested in it and you think that they would be interested in it, what's the first thing that you tell them?
Well, first of all, I'll start to say that, you know, it's an internet talk radio show. It's a bunch of guys getting in a room talking about topics, and it gets funny from time to time. And usually they'll ask...
by the way, Bricks points out the chat, just dig up stuff on your coworkers so that you can fire back at them. Yo, man, you should listen to my show. Otherwise, someone's going to know about that time that you and, I don't know, whoever did this.
Nice. That's not a bad idea. No, I'll usually talk to them about it and sort of give them like a little rundown of what we do. And often they'll be like, "Where can I hear about it?" So that's the next step, is you just kind of tell them. You give them the information about the website, and you can even like type it in or wrap it down.
What do you give them? What do you give them?
I'll start with Best in Show Radio just because.
Let's role play.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yo, so, hey, hi, Brian, what's up?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on with you?
Nothing much. Hey, have you...
Oh, I noticed you were writing on a book there. You were taking notes down for stuff. What is that? Some sort of stuff for work?
I was just jotting some funny little things down that happened to me so I could keep it in my head for the radio show that I do on Sunday.
What? You're doing a radio show?
Yeah, it's this kooky little radio show. It's in Staten Island. I have to like trek.
Ew, I hate Staten Island. People from there, Guidos.
Yeah, they're not that bad. These guys aren't particularly Guidesque. It's a bunch of guys in a room talking about topics.
Do you guys wear shirts during it, or do any of you like,
sometimes?
Take shirts?
Sometimes we wear shirts. One guy usually. Sometimes he doesn't wear pants.
Ew, faggot. Does he go to Fire Island on vacation?
You should check us out, actually.
How can I do that?
Well, the name of our show is Best in Show Radio. So we've got a website.
Like the Christopher Guest movie? Did you rip that idea off from him?
Or? Yes, actually. We kind of stole it from him. You can check us out at bestinshowradio.com. Here, let me write that down for you.
B, is that with a B?
It is with a B.
Nice.
So here you are, and also, you know, you might want to go to hearustalk.com and check out the other radio shows that are on our station.
Who is that?
So
the person stopped speaking English halfway through the conversation. This guy.
What are the radio shows? I'm his friend. My name's Don. What are the radio shows there?
We got another show, DJ New Style, which you can also check out at djnewstyle.com. It's two guys basically talking together.
By the way, that right there is why we haven't had a Brian commercial yet. it's kind of like it's like a show. And they do it. Sometimes
two guys talk.
How would you describe everybody on the show if somebody asked? It's like, who's Chris? What's Keith?
Bruce Leo points out, this is confusing. He's confused by this commercial. He's going to stop listening right now because he doesn't realize where he's going with this commercial.
I usually just make sure that I give them information to get to the website so they can figure it out on their own. Because usually when we start talking about it, they'll ask, how can I hear it? And then bang, there you go.
White as Brent points it out, you don't have business cards with the Best in Show web address printed on them. You know what?
That's the way to do it.
Let's go to Staples today and just have them. Hearustalk.com, business cards, Best in Show business cards, ones that say Chris Shia. Going to say my last name.
Okay.
I don't want people to know my name. Shia.
Let me ask you something then. I'm supposed to. I mentioned last week I was supposed to go to a work party.
By the way, it was so much fun. If you saw that dude funneling on the beach, it was awesome.
I was supposed to go to a work party today, which I'm not going to at this point. But
it's today?
Yeah, it's today.
I thought it was last week.
No,
we talked about it last week. Oh, you know, that's right. You were drunk. I forgot.
No, no, no. You mean Wura is.
Oh, that's right. You were awake. You were awake, so you were drunk.
So you're not going? Why? Why have you made this decision, Keith?
Fred, you and I are going.
Okay, here's the...
interview people about Keith.
Video Godspeed. Camera.
Godspeed. Godspeed is all I could say. But, okay, here's
I'm just going to show up at the beach screaming, my HBO 2 is not working. The HBO Family Channel is not working. What's going on? Could some of you guys, what are you doing? Tell me how to get the best in show. And tell me about Fire Island side.
I thought you were going to scream, where's Carney? Where's the Carney?
The reason I don't want to go, it reiterates what I said last week. As much as I love the idea of showing up late to see my coworkers drunk, there's nothing more appealing to me as far as like my work environment than seeing these people drunk and hopefully.
You'd rather see him drunk, you'd rather see Chris.
But Keith is three glasses of vodka into today's show, so he doesn't want to be seen drunk.
That's true. Chris, you got
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Good point, Chris.
I watched that big solo cup get filled more than a few times during today's show, so he's done.
Chris, do you think Keith gets a little bit more talky and chatty and will talk about himself more if he goes, you know, if he has three vodkas in him?
No.
You don't think
I think that Keith is as close as, other than myself, Keith is maybe one of the bigger recluses I know. I think he's a hermit. Yeah, no, dude, you go out. You go out, you socialize. I think Keith will go when his wife forces him to go to things. Other than that, I think Keith will stay in his house 90% of the time, whereas I'll stay in my house 98% of the time.
Keith gets all giggly, like when he's drinking.
I giggle like crazy. You're right, Brian. I do giggle like crazy. And you know what? I don't want to show
up. You're on mescaline?
I don't want to show up all mesked out. But yeah, I just...
Double barrel, kid.
I don't know. It's not appealing to me no longer.
What were you going to say, Keith, about the business card ideas? Like we were talking to you, like, oh, that brings up a good point. And then,
I was going to... No. That it reminded me of my... Because in my head...
It brings up a good point. I'm wearing pants right now, guys. Look.
I think it's a great idea because often that trying to get bestinshowradio.com or hearustalk.com out, they're going to walk away in 30 seconds, forget it. So you have to write it down on a piece of paper or you got to text it to them or something like that.
That's why you look at them and say, bro, we're on hearustalk.com. Hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Good God. I don't know if I'd ever say those words to a human being staring at them in the face.
Then be like
exactly,
me.
Thank you.
Not human being.
That's why I need a street team. Chris, I need to be the boss of the street team that does the dirty work.
See, I want
to
know this, Chris. If somebody came up to you and says, all right, you have four guys on your show or five, six people on your show, can you describe them for me? What are the types of people that are on your show? Who are they?
Okay,
could you simply describe each one?
Yeah, no,
we
do a talk radio show every Sunday morning. It's on Heroes Talk, although there's a rumor. A rumor, and it's an unfounded rumor, that the show will be moving to a more primetime spot. But that's unfounded. Unfounded rumor.
Nice.
Tease. and we're on every Sunday morning for now. We're enjoying ourselves, having a good time. We've got a compulsive liar named Fred, who's on the show, who really, basically, if he talks, it just doesn't mean anything. We've got a psychotic lunatic named Brian who just fights for the sake of fighting with people on the street. That we've got a hypochondriac lunatic named Keith, and we have honestly maybe the most well-read, intelligent genius that I would go so far as to say is I don't know.
Vanessa.
Vanessa. Exactly. And then I'm some stupid guy. I don't know. How else do you describe us?
Brian?
Chimps in a room. That's pretty much it.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but you know what, Keith? By not saying anything, you've said more than Brian by describing the best of show, chimps in a room. Chimps in a room.
With poop.
Bruce Leo, good point. It's better than church. Maybe we should start promoting that angle.
Because we're on Sundays.
It is kind of gross to be.
But I'm not going to tell my coworkers about it until... You know when I'm going to tell my coworkers about it? Well, at least most of them, when I'm leaving and I tell them, you know what? I have a job in radio now. See ya.
But until you do something to publicize it, you're not going to get
that. You know what? And I don't want to come off like I dislike my coworkers. I don't, but...
Oh, no. I don't think that was implied at all. I don't think that was implied at all. Absolutely, I just think it's an embarrassment factor on your side. I don't think you're saying anything bad about your coworkers at all. My point is just that until you take that leap, until you make that step to actually publicize it, you're not going to get that job in radio.
But even
because the job isn't going to come to you. You have to get that job.
Yeah, Keith.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Don't make me get it for you. Don't make Fred get it for you. Yeah. Don't make Brian get it for you. Don't. Well, thank God, Giggs, get it for all of us. But don't make someone else get it for you. Get it for yourself. Be that dude. Let a million people know. And if seven of them listen, okay, it's seven. And it was a lot of work to only get seven. But get those seven. Go.
What if I tell one a week?
It's one more a month than you've been doing now. Go. No, I mean now. So could you call somebody? Could you call somebody and tell them about the show? Is that the outro music? What? This is our outro music? What the hell kind of a show is this?
Welcome to 1994.
It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk. Thing you do with your ears, place to be. Special thanks to Brix Avalon for being unbelievable. Bruce Leo for calling in. Vanessa, she's the best. Hey, I'm going to keep talking. Who cares? Thanks to everybody for checking out the program. Thanks to P-Roll. Thanks to everybody. Just everybody who's in the chat rooms over on heroestalk.com where you go to forum or over in the Pal Talk room. It's just been a good time. All you guys should be interacting with our program and our station over at heroestalk.com. Go to the forum all week long. Be a part of the magic. Register. Get involved. Whatever. I don't know. It's a bunch of crap. It's Best in Show. Steamroller. What?
I have something to say.
What's that?
August 31st, 72 Hannah Street.
What?
There will be a Hear Us Talk performance.
What?
A live concert. Best in Show Radio will be broadcast live.
What?
From Ronapalooza. And then...
Ronapalooza? Is that really what it's called?
That's awesome.
Post-show at 2 p.m. when the show ends, there will be some bands playing. Included? The Church of Man Love. Included? DJ Newstyle performing live.
Oh, snap! Be there or be square. Steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. Peace.